Blog Talk Radio.
Enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to Thursday, the middle of the year, July the 1st, and a windy, stormy night here in beautiful New Jersey. Hope you guys are safe and sound. We had a tornado warning in the area. I had to go out and find the batteries, and we were going to hunker down in the bathroom. I don't know why the bathroom. Why do people hide in the bathroom? Maybe it's the bathtub. I don't know. I don't have a basement. My plan was to outrun it. I was going to get in the car with the dogs, the wife, and try to outrun the tornado. I'm not sure. It didn't work for Dorothy. I don't know why it would work for me, but we were going to try to outrun it. But luckily, the storm has been called off. We are now into a regular day of rain, and going to be cool weather tomorrow, 70 degrees, kind of crazy week, but I hope you guys have had a good week. I am fired up. I got a lot to be fired up about tonight, and I can't wait to get it off my chest. First of all, the Yankees and Aaron Judge. I'm going to blast my favorite team. They are a disgrace, bloody disgrace. I'm going to call them out for it. I'm pumped. I hope Jeff takes my back on this one, but we'll see. We're going to talk about the Olympic hammer thrower. Now, anybody, why anybody kid about an Olympic hammer thrower? And why this woman is competing in the Olympics and hates this country, I can't figure out. I'm hoping it's strictly she's trying to make a name for herself. But we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the NFL. Oh, boy, the NFL says it's okay to be gay. Thank you, NFL, for coming through on that. But, yeah, you have no problem with guys getting arrested all over the league for walking around with Uzis in the back of their car. The NFL is the most hypocritical organization out there. We're going to get into that tonight. We're going to talk about why isn't Ted Nugent in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Honestly, might not be the biggest Ted Nugent fan, but I'm curious. We'll talk about, I almost bought tickets for a concert. That isn't happening until next year. We're going to talk about athlete activists. Scottie Pippen says that, Phil Jackson's a racist. We'll talk about, let's see. I had something else I wanted to put out there. Sammy Hagar says David Lee Roth's voice isn't aging well. No shit, Sherlock. That had to be the dumbest statement of all time. We got a lot to talk about today. I'm telling you, top to bottom, Jeff's got some big announcements. I think he wants to blast a certain mayor of a city, and I think he wants to try to somehow put some sort of nickname out there for me, but we listen, folks, we ain't buying it. But I hope you guys have had a great week. It's been hot. I will tell you, I've been fired up this week because of sports and music. There's so much going on out there now, and I am pumped to do this show, so I'm looking forward to getting right into it. Hope you guys have been good this week. Let's see, anything coming up here? Again, I hope everybody has a great 4th of July weekend, while they still let us call it the 4th of July weekend, because, you know, people like the Randolph Township city board or city council wants a wipeout. They want to give you the days off, but don't say it's for 4th of July or Veterans Day or Memorial Day. you know, we live in a wacky country, folks. So fight for your rights, and let's have some fun tonight. Lots to get to, plenty to talk about. Make sure you check out our good friends, John Mahefka and everybody down at the Artful Records, and they're talking the fast lane. Hey, Will Cook, how are you? And damn Jessica Simpson. I don't know where Matt Sleach is going with that one, but okay. But again, check out Talking the Fast Lane every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. John and everybody down at Artful do a great job. They got some great bands. Lots of stuff coming out. I know that the Turbo Snakes got a new song dropping, and they have a new album coming out on July 30th. So, hey, guys, check out Turbo Snake. If you're a fan of 80s hair metal, if you want to call it that, you got to check those guys out. Ryan Thomas and those guys are amazing. I'll tell you, between them, Svengali, Westlake, you know, just so many great bands down at RFO Records. You guys got to check them out. But really pay attention to these guys, Turbo Snake. They're a lot of fun. We had Ryan and the bass player, Eric, on the show a few weeks back, and they were great on the show. Hope to have them back soon. Check out RFORecords.com, Turbo Snake, Svengali, all the great bands. Love them all. Now, let's get the show started. I got my dear friend, my co-host, the sexiest man on his side of the screen, ready to kick it off. Let's get Jeff Towinski in. Jefe.
What's up, man? What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm fired up tonight, Jeff. I'm fired up.
Good.
Because I have to tell you, if there's a lot of stupid out there. You know, you can't fix stupid with duct tape, Jeff. You can't fix stupid with duct tape. You know,
try to.
You can try. The only thing you can do with stupid to fix it is if it's a person, you can cover their mouth with it, so they can't say anything else stupid.
No.
Now, here's what I can't figure out: what is Matt Salicci talking about? Damn Jessica Simpson.
Well, I don't know. I think he's a few years off the mark myself. But yeah.
Well, you know what I think it is. The last night, and I taped both games. It was two or three games. Giants Cowboys. One of them, the first one, was the Giants Cowboys playoff game from 2008, where Eli.
The NFL Network.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Dude, man, I'm glad you mentioned that. Go ahead. I put it on and fucking fell asleep instantly. Instantly. I don't know what the fuck was worse.
Well, it was
Eli, yeah. Or the fucking Cowboys.
So Eli was great in that game, by the way, and they played great in the Giants. They went down to Jerry's World to kick the crap out of them. Okay, so that's what he was talking about. And Matt and I were going back and forth on it last night, and I say thank God for Jessica Simpson, because if everybody remembers, Tony Romo in between games, in between that week, took off for Cancun with Jessica Simpson, and they thought.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So everybody was blasting him and Jessica Simpson, and Giants go into Dallas and kick the crap out of them and all that good stuff.
<It's easy talk. laughs>
Hey, Jeff, listen, let's start the show up the right way. Jeff, how was your week?
Fuck my week.
Yeah, wasn't it good?
Was about as fucked as a porn star's ass.
Oh, come on, man.
Okay?
Easy.
Easy. Bill de Blasio, that fucking jerk off.
Well,
I hope he watches as his mother is ravaged by fucking cancer and gets the shits every 10 minutes while she's here.
You know, let me ask you a question. You know, not for nothing. And I understand, I know why you're upset, and rightfully so.
You know why I'm upset.
I do, but okay. You know, a few months back, I was ripping your boy, and you were like, oh, you know, relax. Blah, blah, blah. Now all of a sudden, it's okay to rip Bill de Blasio?
Is it okay to rip him?
Yeah.
Dude, as soon as he signed the papers the right way, it was off to the races with that jerk off. You got to be fucking kidding me.
Oh, boy. Well,
the fucking guy is what a fucking retard.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the city's screwed. It's ruined out there. If you pass through Manhattan at all, and I do pass through and spend some time in Brooklyn, and I'm going to spend more time in the city now, I'll tell you that it's a cesspool. But you know what? That's for a different show on a different day. But
hey, listen, you know what? That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me because that's probably the allure of Manhattan.
It's not the allure.
Being a shithole.
No, it's not. You're out of your mind.
Yes, it is.
No,
Tom,
it's not.
Tom, you didn't see the Manhattan that we all know and love. You didn't go up to the sex shows, the peep shows,
No, I didn't.
Homeless people, the pimps, the hookers, all of it. The real New York. You didn't experience that, did you?
No. Well, you know what? Listen, I spent quite the amount of days in my youth, in my construction career, traveling in and out of the city, avoiding as much of that as I possibly could. But
and that's still the case, Matt, by the way.
Yeah,
but,
You can literally walk down or drive down the street in Manhattan and see somebody peeing or pooping on the street almost every single day.
I have not had my shit cherry broken yet. I've seen people pissing all over the place. I'm going to the city in a couple of days, actually about a week for my birthday. And hopefully we will see a homeless guy dropping down a sloppy, sloppy load.
Well, listen, next week, guys, just to make that announcement, of course, every year at that time we have a couple shows we do every year. Our NFL training camp show, which is August the 5th, where Jeff and I break down the NFL. Maybe we'll have a couple of guests on. I don't know if Matt and Frank want to pop up and do a little football with us to start training camp. That'll be August the 5th. Of course, we do our NFL show on the first Thursday of the year. We have our Super Bowl show every year. And the other show we do every year is the Jeff birthday show. And that'll be next Thursday night, July the 8th, which is also my brother's birthday. But 2 days before Jeff's birthday, we always do our little Jeff's birthday show. So we'll have that up for you next Thursday when we start this all over again and the start of Jeff's vacation. So I'm fired up. There's a lot to talk about tonight. Forget about your boy de Blasio. Yes, he's a disgrace.
He's just a jerk. I'm going to unveil it now.
You unveil what?
Your new nickname.
You can't even put it up. I have to put it up, I would think, if anything.
I know you're going to be looking.
Oh, my God. Here we go. You're putting it up on the screen and you're typing it in. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, if I can find out.
Anyway, I want to get right to it while Jeff's embarrassing himself with nicknames. And guys, if anybody wasn't paying attention yesterday and you're any sort of a baseball fan, I'm going to call out Aaron Judge. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, it's the manager, it's the GM, it's the front office, and I understand that. But the fact that Aaron Judge was not in the lineup yesterday against Shohei Ohtani and the Angels is pure baseball suicide. Why do I say that? You know, when you're selling the game, Jeff, to an audience, it's about the superstars. Now, you got a guy who's this new phenom coming in. He's from Japan. He's a two-way player. People are retardedly comparing him to Babe Ruth. But I get it. You know, you're hyping up the game. And then here's what you're thinking. Bottom of the first inning, Ohtani's out there. There's two outs, or maybe there's a runner on. And Aaron Judge, 6'7", you know, 250 pounds, hits monster home runs against the flamethrower. What a matchup. And Aaron Judge isn't playing because he needed a day off. 27 years old, can't play three games of baseball in a row, and it's a disgrace. Jeff.
It's a shame. Well, when was the last time he got hurt? Isn't he due to get hurt?
Well, you know what, Jeff? I get it for your nagging injuries, but let me tell you something. If you're the Yankees, you know, you got to, you know, there was, a 5,000 or 7,000 people jump in fans of last night's game. A lot of them coming to see Ohtani. But, Jeff, I was fired up in the morning. I'm driving my buddy to work, and I said, looking forward to tonight's game. Can't wait to the first inning. I want to see, you know, Ohtani and Judge. That's going to be a great matchup. That's what you live for as a baseball fan, is those kind of one-on-one matchups. And forget the fact, Matt, you're 100% right, but, you know, to me as a Yankee fan, I think most Yankee fans will say the same thing. It's not – Stanton's not Judge from the standpoint of being Mr. Yankee. He's the best Yankee player. And if regardless
– he could have taken over the role as the homegrown player, the homegrown talent.
Absolutely.
To pick up where what's his face? Jeter.
Yeah, and that's what you're hoping for. The problem I have is everybody wants to blame the manager or the GM or the front office. Fine, but if you're Aaron Judge, you have to walk in the door and say, guys, I don't really care. I'll take tomorrow. It rained today. It's a 1 o'clock game. Give him today off. But he's got to be in the lineup last night. Forget the outcome. And I want to rip the Yankees a lot tonight. There's a lot about that team that needs to be fixed, and this team may need to be completely taken apart. And you know what? Before this, I was saying you could think about trading Judge because you really want to do that. But, guy, Jeff, I have to tell you, as a baseball fan, I can't possibly see Thurman Munson or Derek Jeter or Paul O'Neill or Bernie Williams. Man, I don't say Bernie. Paul O'Neill. Some of those guys walking into the office and going, oh, you're not playing today. Oh, yeah, no problem. It's cool. Oh, Shohei Ohtani's going to be out there, the best pitcher, one of the best players in the game. Nah, I don't want to play in this game. To me, that is the fact that he didn't walk in there and say, I'm playing. Either you're going to have me out there as part of nine, or I'll be the 10th guy on the field. I'm stepping on the field. He should have demanded.
What his career stats are against this guy? By
no, I don't even think there's numbers, Jeff. I don't think they've even faced each other yet, which is even more exciting because they haven't played against each other. I don't think they have. At least I don't remember seeing. But it don't matter. The kid, the
that
guy's
was pitching. Judge's decision or Boone.
According to Boone, this was a scheduled day off. Boone says I decided this was a time to give him a day off. It's a hot night, hot day, and we're gonna have a long stretch. And blah, blah. Bullshit. This is.
So let me ask you something. Yeah. So in other words, at the end of June, beginning of July, Aaron Boone decides to give Aaron Judge off one game at the start of a series.
Yeah.
Okay. How long? I'm just trying to
rationalize it.
When was the last time he had a day off? Like
I don't know, but Joe Jeff, here's the thing. If you're
these people work like 3 hours a day.
Well, think about it. Yeah, first of all, let's put it in perspective. You play 3 hour baseball game, half of which you're sitting on the bench, right? Because after the game, somebody else is getting up at bat, or you're standing in the field. So let's say out of a 3 hour game, how much effort are you really, really making? Really?
Not much.
15 minutes?
Not much.
20 minutes? You're 27, 28 years old. You're playing a game. You probably slept until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, got up and went to the stadium. I mean, are we kidding? And let's put it this way. If you're going to take a night off, okay, let's think about this. We're trying to promote baseball. We want to drive fans back into the place. What do? Let's take the two biggest players in the area and put them against each other. Think about the matchup. Now, listen, Ohtani was terrible. He probably would have walked Judge maybe. Who the hell knows? But the anticipation of that and the fact that the two best players on their teams were not in the lineup against each other is an absolute, absolute, absolute disgrace and cannot be – there's no way to sugarcoat it. Take off Tuesday night. Take off Thursday. But you know you're facing Ohtani on Wednesday. As a baseball matchup, you want people there in the stands.
How about this? Why are you giving this guy off and saying that's because of the heat? That's why I asked at the end of June, beginning of July. We haven't even begun with the hot weather
yet.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're going to be looking at hot weather for the next, till October, easily. You know what I mean?
I agree.
September. And so, like, to give him now, he just started to see hot weather.
Jeff, these
guys are too coddled. They really are.
Oh, Jeff, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, to Patrick's sentiment, yeah, you know, this was an opportunity for Aaron Judge to kind of step up in the, you know, I'm the next Derek Jeter type play. No, he's not Derek Jeter. Nobody should be held to that standard. Jeter was a different guy in a different era. But, you know, you're the best player on this team. You're the Yankee face of the Yankee franchise. You got to demand to be out there. You can't go, all right, Skip, I'll take the day off. You got to be kidding me. You got to want to run to that plate and face this guy.
Of course. And to say that he's the next Derek Jeter is wrong. Yes.
Absolutely.
But to say that he's the next face of the franchise, yeah, on that level, you can compare him to Jeter.
Absolutely.
He's a homegrown talent. He's somebody that could carry the team. He's somebody that could be the face of the franchise for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Somebody that they could build a team around.
100%.
Listen, on the other hand, one day off is not going to make or break a career, but when you missed as many games as he has in the last 3 or 4 seasons, you know, I remember asking my old boss, you remember,
yeah, sure,
Vinny,
nice guy,
when the Judge was having his big year,
mm-hmm.
I says, is this guy for real? And he's like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I says, no. I says, I do know what I'm talking about. I says, he seems to get hurt quite easily and quite a lot. I says, how are you going to tell me that this guy's the real deal when he could go from hitting 50 home runs to hitting 12 to 20 home runs a year because of injuries? And, after he hit the 51 or whatever it was the first year,
mm-hmm.
what were his next years after that? Wasn't he like in the 20s and that was about it?
Probably, yeah. He had some injuries the next couple of years and he has not put together that season that he did his rookie year. But, you know, again, he's still a big-time player. He's still a face of the Yankee franchise. And I've said it, up until about a month ago, I would have said, no, you need to build a team around. But I have to think, if I'm the Yankees, first off, this Yankee team is going to have to be scrapped at the end of the year. I mean, they cannot go forward with this team as it is. I mean, if you're going to keep Torres, he's got to move to second base. You got to trade Voit. And if anybody saw the game last night, I didn't see the play live, I watched a good part of the game, but there was a play at first base when Voit just kind of, I don't know what he was thinking about. If Steinbrenner was alive, he would be in, and this guy would be in Columbus, and they don't even have a team anymore in Columbus. You know, to me, he's got to go. There's a lot of moves, and I want to get to some of them in a little bit. I want to get my dad on now.
He's real quick. He's had, after he had the 52 home runs and 114 RBIs, he went 27 with 67, 27 and 55, 9 home runs and 22 RBIs last year.
Yeah.
And at the halfway point of the year figure, he's got 18 home runs and 42 RBIs. So he's barely going to crack 30 home runs this year and not even hit a break 100 on the RBIs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he could have a big second half. He did that the year he had 50. He had a huge September to get over that. But, yeah, Jeff, you're 100% right.
He's gone from 100 games, played 155 games to 112 to 102. All right, he played in 28 last year, but that was a strike-shortened season, and he's played in 75 already. So it looks like he's – I know that they're not to the halfway point. So evidently he's doing a little bit better there, but I don't see him as being the guy to lead the Yankees.
Yeah, again, he's coming up on a point in a year or two where you're going to have to pay him, that 10-year, $300 million contract. And I don't know.
He's 29 now.
Okay, so
ten-year deal.
But again, that's what's coming. So Aaron Judge is not going to settle for a 5-year Yankee deal, when the time comes. He's going to want a big contract. And again, it's probably his one opportunity for a huge deal. Maybe he takes a 3-year deal someplace and then tries to play for another contract, but he'll be 33, 34 years old at the time. So I'm questioning myself.
Injury history.
Right. So to me, I have a real serious question right now. If I'm the Yankees, do I want to make the commitment to the guy? For a lot of the reasons that you're saying now, but I have to tell you, after yesterday, when he did not demand, now again, wasn't in New York. I wasn't there. Maybe he was throwing stuff around the office. I have no idea. But as far as I'm concerned, he's their big star. You walk into that office, you say, you're out of your mind. I'm playing. Figure it out. And you go out there and play baseball yesterday. I don't care. And that's what bothers me more than anything. Now, listen, this team is bad. It needs to be fixed. It's bad defensively, bad fundamentally, and the manager needs to pay the price for it. I'm not big on firing guys, Jeff, but when you're bad fundamentally, when you throw to the wrong base constantly, when you get thrown out on the bases more than anybody else in the league, when you don't know how many outs there are in an inning 3 times in about 2 weeks, the manager needs to get fired.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is a team that should always constantly be in the in the postseason race, man.
Yep.
All the time.
Yeah, I mean, you're eight and a half games out. I mean, Chapman, I think last night officially doomed the Yankee season. They're up 8-4 in the ninth, one out. He gives up the grand slam to tie the game, and they ultimately score 3 more runs, and they beat the Yankees 11-8 last night. I mean, that's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. This team is not very good right now, and it needs to be overhauled. It's bad defensively. Okay, it's got a catcher who's lazy. Yeah, he's hitting the ball, trading his ass right now. There's so much wrong with this team. I can't even get into it. But listen, that's for a few more minutes. Right now, I am Jeff. I can't tell you how mad I was last night. I went home. I was pumped to watch the game, and then on the way home, I hear that Judge isn't playing, and I can't figure out for the life of me why he's not playing. I got to watch Brett Gardner and Cliff Frazier. Play against Shohei Ohtani, who was horrendous. I don't want to hear any more about, he's the next Babe Ruth. Please, let it play out.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's get my dad on, see what he's got to say. I'm sure he's got a couple things to add to this whole thing, and he's on every week with us. That's my dad. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? I'm listening to you.
How you doing, Mr. Porter?
And I watched the game last night, and the only thing that I could tell you is, and this, what's wrong with the Yankee team is they're not as good as you think they are.
Boy, I agree.
When they threw that ball at him, he looked like a deer in the woods.
He didn't even make a try.
He never even made an attempt
yeah.
to try to grab the ball. He could
it was
have had
embarrassing.
It. Just, yeah, him. Listen, Voit's got to go, okay? What's that guy's name? Odu, the guy that plays second base. Frazier.
Yeah, Odor, yeah.
Brett Gardner. I mean, come on. You got a guy there that's got, what, 2 home runs, 1 home run, and he's back.
In Brett Gardner's defense, and I'm not – Brett Gardner was brought back to be the fifth outfielder, okay, be a guy who can run off the bench, play a game or two a week if you need him to play a little outfield, the late gamers. You know, he's only in there playing a lot because they traded Tauchman, which I still don't understand, and Hicks got hurt as usual. That's the only reason why he's playing.
But they need, though, they don't need a guy to run out there. They need a center fielder.
Absolutely.
Take Tyler. I would take Tyler. What's his last name?
Tyler Wade?
The fifth. Wade. Yeah. Put him on short. Kid's got a great arm. Plays that position. Take Woody Cole and put him on second base where he's a natural.
It's
terrible. They're not as good as what they people. I can't understand. You listen to these people. They're not playing well. Well, maybe they're not as good as they think they are or people think they are. I mean, you don't trade for people if they're decent. I just don't understand it. They're terrible. I'm watching a game last night, and I couldn't believe. I'd never seen anybody lose like that. And there's one word that I wish they would get rid of, take it out of baseball forever. Potential. Potential.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many ball players that I've seen through my life with the potential that never became.
I agree with you.
You have nothing to lose. Bring these kids up from the minors.
Well, I mean, I definitely have to lose. Yeah, I didn't see Hal Steinbrenner's press conference today, so I'm curious. After the show, I'm gonna grab a listen, but I can't figure out for the life of me, you know, what the plan is at this point. They're 8.5 games out.
There is no plan. The only thing he said, Tommy, was I'm disgusted like everybody else, but I'm not going to make no knee jerk. I'm not firing anybody. No, maybe you should get some of these guys and send them down like they did to what do you call?
Yeah,
send them down. Look what happened with, what's his name, the catcher?
Sanchez.
He thought he was going to lose his job. Okay,
yeah.
Defensively, I'll take it. He's an average catcher. But look what he's happened to him hitting-wise. They're terrible. I'm sorry. They're a terrible team. They have no potential. They have nobody. There's about five guys on that team should be dropped right away.
I'm not disagreeing with Matt. I'm gonna get to Matt's question. So Matt, I agree with you. Firing the manager is not always the answer, but here's the problem. There's no ramifications for the players making mistakes. You know, Sanchez gets thrown out, taking extra bases three times in about a week. No ramifications, doesn't get sat. You know, other players don't have a clue how many outs there are in a game. Nobody gets sat. Luke Voit makes a play last night that did nothing. Okay, it was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen, and there's no ramifications. But at some point, and I don't believe in firing the manager because the players are playing bad, but when the players don't have fundamentals, when the players are not being held accountable, then you got to hold the manager accountable. If I were the Yankees right now, Dad, and I know you're going to think I'm crazy, the guy I would bring back right now for the rest of the year, Buck Showalter. I bring Buck Showalter for a year.
Tommy. You're blaming the wrong guy for the simple fact they said it today. Boone has no say. They send him down a list of guys. They show him what he does. They're not giving him a lineup, but they're showing him who plays. You can't. Look what happened to Girardi.
They sent Girardi out because he was too tough on Sanchez.
That's right. And you think they wouldn't do it to Boone?
But
you
again,
can't
I understand it. But again, you're rewarding the players, okay, and then you're rewarding the manager. Nobody's getting in trouble. Nobody's being sacked.
Well, maybe you should fire Hal Steinbrenner.
I get it. But you know, at the end of the day, somebody's got to pay the price for this. And this is again, you know, I understand. Listen, when players go out there, they just don't hit or they don't pitch. Stuff happens. You go, okay, I'm not blaming the manager for that. But when you're not going out there, there's no fundamentals, somebody's got to take the hit for that. I'm sorry. You're major league players, and you don't know how many outs in an inning there are? Not once.
That was years ago you used to do that. You can't do that no more, Tommy.
I got it, but you see
today, even basketball, if you criticize a ball player, it's like, oh, my God.
I get it, but you know, at the end of the day, if you don't hold people accountable, Jeff – If you don't put people's feet to the fire, then there's no reason to show up every day and worry about your job. You know, I worry about my job every day. I come into work. I make sure that I do my job because I'm afraid that I'm going to get let go. If you're a Yankee player, Jeff, you have to show up, Northern. Am I going to get sent down to the minors? Am I going to be on the bench for a week? And they don't.
No, of course, I agree. If there's no ramifications for bad play, sloppy play, they're not going to be too worried about it. And, you know, as a team, as it gets later in the season, everybody knows that if they're not going to be playing or they look like they're slipping, these guys are really going to get discouraged.
Yeah.
And they're definitely not going to try as hard as they need to try to get the team to the next level. And that's in any sport, not just baseball.
Of course.
Just so happens baseball, they play for 162 games. It must feel like forever if your team is out of the race and you still have to play these games.
I can't agree more. And it just, but at some point, Dad, I know that Showalter, I'm not a big Showalter fan. I think Showalter's one of those guys, he can manage a team for a couple of years, then he wears thin on you and he walks away. But to me, you can't bring another guy in who's going to pat these guys on the back. You bring a Showalter in for the rest of the year, you let him teach them the fundamentals of the game, let him get back into people's heads, and then next year you get another manager. I don't want Showalter for full time. But for the rest of the year, I got to go to a manager who's going to go to the whip a little bit. And obviously, the Boone years have not amounted to a huge success. There's no World Series wins. That this team is fundamentally a very bad team.
I agree. The team is terrible. I said it all along. I'm sorry, and I'm sick of hearing the potential.
Yeah.
This guy's a potential. He's Voit is one of the worst.
Oh.
First baseman I think the Yankees had in years. I'm sorry.
I mean, listen.
You had to see him. He just stood there. It was like
I saw the video. I saw the video. It's ridiculous. He doesn't move. And it's not like the runner was that close to him. You know, he just didn't move. It looked like he was surprised. You can't even say he looked surprised because he just stood there and the ball went right past him.
Like he was daydream.
Yeah.
I don't see anything with him. And I got to tell you honestly, there's nothing going to happen this year because they don't discipline. This is not 1960, 70, 80 where they discipline. If you do something wrong, they sit you down on the bench. They don't do that no more. I agree with you as the manager, but if they took Boone out and they brought another manager in, what would happen? It'd be the same thing. They just don't care.
I agree with you, but that's why I said you'd have to bring you. Listen, there's no way Buck Showalter's going to show up there and say, okay, yes, you could send me down the lineup. And at some point, management's got to say, well, whatever we're doing ain't working. It's time to try something different. And I like Matt's idea. And I would love to see, you know, honestly, go bring back a Willie Randolph. Go bring back Buck Showalter. Go bring back some of those guys who played hard, who know the game, who are Yankees, you know, deep down. To me, it can't hurt. And at the very least, you need to change the culture for next year. But right now, you're stuck with this team. Stan's not going anywhere. They're probably not going to trade Judge, although I would seriously consider it. Voit's probably one of the guys who's going to go. But other than that, you know, Frazier's probably gone. Gardner will be gone. Who you get back, I don't know. But this team's culture needs to change that. That's the thing for me.
Well, I agree with you. But I don't see it happening because today they're not going to admit that they were wrong with their main mistakes and they should have got what they got. I'd rather have Ford over what do you call Voit. At least he was a better first baseman.
I would have kept Tauchman. I would have let Tauchman play center field and I would let Voit play Ford play first. I get the fact they weren't hitting, but nobody's hitting. So what's the difference? At least there'll be guys who can play defense.
Yeah, I agree. Tyler Wade, and they just don't put him in the game. They only put him in when it's...
Again, they're not going to sit Torres. If Wade plays short and Torres plays second, that means LeMayo's playing first. That means Voit's on the bench. I agree with you, Pop. I would do it in a heartbeat. But they're not going to do that. Why? Because they want to see Voit hit 400-foot home runs once every couple of weeks.
Every couple of weeks. All right, I'm going to let you go.
All right, Pops.
Take care, guys. Have a good one.
I'll see you over the weekend, Dad.
Am I going to see you Sunday?
Sunday, yeah. We'll see you Sunday. I'll talk to you tomorrow about it, but yeah, we'll see you Sunday.
Okay, good enough.
You got it, Pops. That's my dad. He checks it every week. Matt, I saw that trade. The guy's hitting the buck 78. I mean, you know, he's a right-handed hitter who's hitting 178. I know maybe he could play outfield. I don't know. And, Patrick, I would love Pinella back. You know, unfortunately, Lou's working his way through a cancer diagnosis. So our best to Lou Pinella. But we would love to have that. I would love to have a guy like that. Jeff, you know, I don't know, Jeff, though. You know, it's working with Tony La Russa in Chicago. I think Chicago is still one of the better teams in the American League at this point. But I don't think the old-school guy would work nowadays, unfortunately, unless management's going to back him 100%.
I don't know, dude. You know, it's – I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's just – it's frustrating, Jeff, because, listen, you know, growing up, Jeff, you're a Yankee fan. You know, you live for the days, you know, for me at least, you know, when the Yankees were playing, you know, the Texas Rangers and you knew they were going to face, you know, Reggie Jackson was going to hit off for Nolan Ryan, you know, or Don Mattingly was going to face Roger Clemens. As a baseball fan or as a team, that's what you're selling. That's what you're selling out there. And the fact that your best player wasn't facing the other team's best player and the biggest star, one of the biggest stars in the league, is embarrassing. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
So,
You know, listen, Tom, it's a long season.
Yeah.
Like I said before, this guy has not played a full season. I don't know why they're still holding on to him in the first place.
Listen, I would have argued with you a month ago. I don't know if I'd argue with you now. A month ago, I might have argued with you. Right now, all bets are off. You could trade, to me, as far as I'm concerned, you could trade anybody on this team short of Gerrit Cole. And I would tell you I'm okay with it. And maybe LeMayu. I like LeMayu. I think he's a hard-nosed player. Those are probably the only two guys I would consider saying they're untouchable. Anybody else? I think this Yankee team is going to take a kick to the teeth at the end of the year. That's the way I look at it.
Probably. It's about time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and absolutely right, Patrick. Analytics have killed this game because you don't play this game based on, forget about matchups, and I get that. But sometimes it's, hey, a guy's a great matchup, but he came today and he's not feeling well. Or some guy's on a hot streak, even though he hasn't hit that guy very well, he's on a hot streak, got to play him. That's the problem is it's too much. Your computer says play so-and-so against so-and-so, and he swings at the second pitch, not the third pitch. It's too much of that. Analytics have screwed up sports in general, but really have killed baseball. Jeff, baseball is a game of gut. You manage by your gut. You're out there, you guess, and you guess what the pitcher's doing, and you use your gut instinct on whether to run. And baseball is played that way, Jeff. Football is more analytical to me. Would you agree?
Yeah, of course. But you know what, Tom? It's something new. It's something else to give the fans. It gives them something to look at,
yeah.
And like all of a sudden, the spin rate of a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know, how fast the ball is coming off of
that. Yeah, exit velocity and arc angles. And, you know, we beat the death out of it. But the bottom line is, you know, I was disappointed yesterday, not only in the Yankees, but especially Aaron Judge, because as the face of the Yankees and the guy who I was hoping was the next face of the New York Yankees, he was going to be out there. And if unless I find out, you know, he tore up the manager's office when he found that he wasn't playing. Short of that, I'm very down on Aaron Judge right now. But, again, listen, Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom, we're talking a little baseball. I want to get to some other stuff right now. Lots to get to. Remember, next week is the big Jeff birthday show. We do it every year. Hopefully I'll get some guests on to pop in and say happy birthday to Jeff. And we'll help him kick off his vacation with a nice big show.
It's time.
It's time?
It's time.
Time for what?
For the rig reveal.
All right, look, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff. He's just dying to put out some sort of nickname for me that will never stick. Nobody's ever stuck me with a nickname. Nobody's ever gave me a nickname. Look, listen, my nickname for Jeff is Hefe. So I've called him that for years. Nobody's really stuck. Frank Jeffrey's had a nickname for me since we were kids, but nobody else in the world would call me it. So I'm going to turn it over to Jeff. He's going to announce. He says he did a big online thing where he asked people what my nickname should be, and he's got the winner. So, Jeff,
yeah.
I'm going to turn it over to you. You can announce the nickname that in 5 minutes nobody's going to remember.
I'll Doyer. It's all night long. We're going to be calling you that.
All right, Jeff.
I first,
who was yours?
We gave him three choices.
There were three choices?
Three choices. Okay. There was Tommy the Cannon Florio, Tommy the Rifle Florio, and then the third choice.
And this is the one that stuck?
And this is the one that stuck.
Okay. All right. So you, do you need a timpani? Do you need like a timpani, a drum roll?
No.
Nothing? You good? Go ahead.
Tommy the Cannon got three votes.
Three?
Three.
Wow.
Tommy the Rifle got two votes.
Well, only two people like the Rifle. I kind of like the Rifle myself, but okay.
But the big one, that's going to stick, the one that's you, baby.
This is me?
It's you.
Okay.
Is Tommy the Pink Macanudo Florio. That got 17 votes.
And this you figure...
Yeah, because there's all kinds of variations.
It's not even
Matt,
it's not even catchy. It's not even catchy.
It is. Well, believe me, it is.
It's not catchy. Oh.
So I want you to think of what the Pink Macanudo is.
I got it. It's not gone over my head, Jeff. I got what it is. I'm just saying it's not catchy and it's not going to stick
it
around.
It's real catchy.
Oh my God! Did you guys see what I have to put up every week? You see
one of the fans from Israel.
Oh. By the way, our numbers are down from Israel again. We're down to 6% of our audience is from Israel.
Down to 6%.
Yes.
Some of them might have got killed in the firefights over there.
Man, it might have. I think there was a football player we all know that Jaworski was a Polish Rifle.
Yeah, you can't beat a Rifle.
Yeah. there was another one. Who was the other guy? Herb Bellamy. It was he was in the movie All the Right Moves. He was a college player. I got to look him up. He was like the Remington Rifle or the something Rifle. I got to look it up. Anyway, I would have probably went with the Rifle one myself. The Pink Macanudo.
That's the thing. If you're giving yourself a nickname, it's wrong.
Can you, as a person, can you name yourself, give yourself a nickname?
No.
You can't, right? Like somebody has to give you that nickname.
Definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm giving you the Pink Macanudo.
All right, folks. If you feel up to it, you feel like it, and you want to follow with Jeff, I
made the appropriate changes at work. I'm glad I got caught. So you're going to start referring to him as the Pink Macanudo?
Robert, if you want to stay friends with me, Rob, this will stay on this air. I'm telling you flat out, Rob, but that's okay. I can take it. It'll disappear quickly. And soon to be like Jeff, but that's okay. His screen's going to go fuzzy soon. That's all. It's no big deal. But again,
I've been trying. Zuckerberg or Fuckenberg, whatever the fuck his name is, tried to stifle me and put me in jail. It couldn't stop it.
It didn't stop you.
The people will want me.
Yes, yes. The people will revolt and call for his return. Guys, we got a lot still more to get to right now. We've been ripping the Yankees for about 40 minutes. We'll get off.
That was.
It's all part of the show.
It's not bad.
Let's see. Where do I want to go next? Yeah, by the way, you know, first off, today is the big Bobby Bonilla day, Jeff. Bobby Bonilla getting his $1 million a year to Finelli.
To like 2035.
It's ridiculous. He took a $16 million contract and turned it into about $50 million. So good for Bobby Bonilla. He's still on the Mets payroll. Every July 1st, there's a check for $1 million sent out to Bobby. And, man, it's the best retirement fund I've ever heard of in my entire life, Jeff.
Yeah, really. I mean, you realize this guy could blow everything and know that he has he's just every day bring them closer to another $1 million.
That's it. Just all you got to do is get one more year. Patty G, G-Man, Barney Rubble. I like the Barney Rubble one, Patrick. I do like the Barney Rubble one.
You can't use anybody else's nickname.
No. This is Patrick's nickname. I'm acknowledging Patrick's nickname.
You can't have to refer to him as Patrick until you embrace your nickname.
Not embracing my nickname. Patrick.
Tommy the Pink Macanudo for
shot. I don't know what to get to next. What do we want to talk about? Oh, so let's say there's a couple things. It was Bobby Bonilla Day. I got that out there. Turbo Snake. I announced Turbo Snake's got the new thing.
Let's talk about this bitch in the Olympics.
Before I forget, though, I do want to congratulate the Islanders. I know they lost last Friday night, but a great series other than the one bad game. And, again, disappointing. But a good series. They really did do a good job for themselves. I don't know if anybody's watched the first two games of the Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay looks like they're going to be unbeatable. Not that they're playing incredible hockey, but it's been two good games. But a good job by the Islanders, a great season, and I'm expecting bigger things from them in the future. While I'm a Ranger fan, I do appreciate the way they play the game, and congratulations to the Islanders and their fans on a very successful season, and we'll see how it turns around again in the fall when they come back. So, yes, Jeff, let's talk about the Olympic. You know, here's the thing. Here's what I can't figure out. You have somebody who's trying to compete in the Olympics for their country, yet despises their country. And the woman finishes third, not first. She finishes third. The two women who finish first and second stand for the flag, carry flags for them, stand for the national anthem and the flag. And then this woman, I don't even get what's all about, Jeff. But I'll let you take it apart first.
Here's my point. Yeah. You're in the Olympics, all right? You're not representing a town or a state.
Yeah.
You're representing your country against the rest of the world, okay? You need to have some, be patriotic and have some country pride to you.
Yeah.
Okay? To be there, because you're representing the country where you came from.
Absolutely.
If you don't want to represent the country you came from, then bow out now before you embarrass yourself in front of the world. And just walk away and forget about your career and whatever sport it was that you're going to be in. In this case, it was like a track and field,
I believe,
right? She was the hammer throw, so that's track and field.
Yep.
And just stop.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Why are you even in the Olympics then?
That's the part I don't get. Go compete for Canada. Go compete for another country.
Well, you can't. It certainly seems as though that you have a problem with the playing of your country's national anthem.
Yeah, again, and here's the thing. We all know that if you make it onto, if you're the number one, if you win your event, they're going to play your national anthem. Okay, this one, at this event, she said they did it to on purpose. What they did was every day at a certain time, 5:26, I believe it was, they played the national anthem. It wasn't after every event because it's the trial, so they don't do that. And it just happened to be that when they were on the stand, getting their trophies or getting their medals, I should say, they did it. Okay? If you don't want to do it, just stand there quietly. You don't have to put your hand over your heart, but you're competing for your country. And then, did you hear today? Here was her excuse. One, they sandbagged me. I didn't know they were going to play it. Who cares? You don't have to know. Two, she says, I didn't do it because the third verse of the national anthem, which nobody knows even exists, nobody sang it forever, has something to do with slavery. It's never sung, Jeff. They don't even do the second verse. Only the first verse of the national anthem is ever sung.
I know.
It's the most, if you don't want to do it, don't compete. Don't compete. And I don't understand this one. Give me this one. She's part of the athletes, activist athletes. What is an activist athlete, Jeff?
Well, evidently somebody that wants to cause problems and bring attention to themselves on a negative level, I would think. What else could it possibly
be? Let me ask you a question. So, all right. Again, guys, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom here every Thursday night. Please do me a favor. Pass us on to your friends, your coworkers, the guys, the people you hang out with. Let them know we're out there and we do this every week. We have a lot of fun. We run the gamut. We're going to get to a little bit of music in a few minutes. We'll talk about Ted Nugent and Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth. Lots more sports, but let people know we're out there. We're trying to build a brand here, and we need your help. So please do that. But, Jeff.
And we want to make sure that everybody knows
here
about
we go.
Our
here we go.
Fan club.
We have a fan club?
Oh, yeah. Macanudos. We're going to have everyone in the fan club known as the Macanudos. And
here we go.
And we're going to be coming up with a logo.
We are?
Yeah. We'll be coming up with a logo for the people, and they'll be able to do whatever they want to it. We are going to give a $500 prize to whoever gets the logo tattooed on them.
You will be paying this $500?
No, that's what we have sponsors for.
We have sponsors?
J-G-R-C-O.
G-R-C-O, yes.
and by the way, Jay, if you're listening, running low on pens, bro. Pens. Okay, that's one thing. Second of all, we have that card game.
The fight card game, Darren Joseph. Yep.
Fight card game.
Yeah, we want that's something. We do need some sponsors,
it'd
Jeff.
It'd be like $500 a year.
You know, our sponsors are great people, but there's not a lot of cash coming back this way. No swag. You know, I
fucking deadbeats.
Yeah, we need some full-time sponsors. Some, you know, if you're out there and you got a friend who owns a business or somebody wants to throw a few dollars away to the show, we can always use a few dollars here to kind of buy some shirts and buy some different things and pay the bills, you know, that pile up around here. So, I think Jeff's got to hit a little something. In his warped comments, I think there's a little something to be said for that.
Not warped, man. The people need somebody to latch onto, and you're that person.
I'm that person?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Matt, you're 100% right. Again, listen, let's talk about athlete activists. If you're a pro player and you want to use your forum, I disagree with it. Kneeling for the anthem, all that kind of stuff, I think I don't want. But I can respect the fact that you have the right to do it. When you're an amateur athlete, especially one who's competing for their country, you do not, and I'll say it again, you do not have the right to disrespect or protest your country when you're asking to compete for them, Jeff. There's a difference. So if you want to be a pro athlete and you want to not stand for the anthem, you want to use your forum, I don't agree with it, but I understand it. But if you're an amateur athlete competing for your country in I don't care if it's the Canada Cup, the World Cup of hockey, you know, the Olympics, World Cup of soccer, any of that kind of stuff, Jeff, you do not have the right to protest. You do not. You relinquish it.
I got to be honest with you.
Okay.
I kind of disagree with you.
Oh, come on. You can't, Jeff.
No, hear me out. Okay. Everyone is entitled to their opinion.
Sure.
Okay. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Absolutely.
You'd be happy to allow anyone to have their opinion. And I feel the same way that you do. But how about this?
Go ahead.
Okay. And this is not to give them any leeway or anything. You want to say something? Then you have a couple different things to do. You could turn around and compete in the game like you did.
Right.
Finish third like you did.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go to hand you your medal, say, I'm not going to take the medal in protest because of this or that. And you just turn around and you walk away and you don't even stand there for just playing in a national anthem.
Okay.
Nor do you stand there to be acknowledged as the third place finisher in that game.
Okay.
Okay. Second, if you feel a certain way, you go out there, you compete for your country, you think of what it means to compete for your country, but then when the game is over, instead of doing it at the game, at the ceremony for the awards, and you turn around and say, listen, I'm kind of unhappy with this, with my country, I'm unhappy with that, I wish they would change it, blah, 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 blah. You do it on your time, not during work time, so to speak. And even then, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have a hard time to swallow that one. It just shouldn't be done in general.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it, if you chose a more appropriate time and place instead of being handed a medal and doing it, maybe people would say, like, take a little bit of interest in what it is that you're – the message that you're trying to convey. Right now, nobody wants to give you here your message. This is a chance to unify people, you know, through sports.
I agree.
Because everything that's going on, and you can help by doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
and you got to do it, protest in the middle of the award. You didn't know they were going to play the national anthem. You're standing there collecting awards. What were they going to fucking play? The theme from Knock the Zeus?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, Jeff, I get it, but here's the thing. You know, this isn't two schools. You know, you went to college at Clemson, and then you're going to Georgia Tech, you're going to Alabama, you go and you compete in the hammer throw, and you win, and they play the national anthem. You know that I almost understand the fact that you're not competing for your country, you're competing for your school. I get it. It's still horrendous, but when you sign up that you want to go ahead and do. And compete for your country. You want to represent the United States of America in an international competition, and you're putting on the red, white, and blue uniform. You will stand for the flag. You will honor the flag. You will stand for our anthem, and you will like it. Otherwise, don't compete.
Evidently, they won't, and they don't care what you're thinking and what you're saying, because She clearly didn't give a shit for most of the people in the World Cup.
I agree. But then,
and
you know what?
Protested it right there on the fucking awards ceremony. And that, Matt, I basically said what you said, if you would listen, that if you're going to protest it, do it someplace else, not at the fucking awards ceremony. Not while you're being handed the medal. That's while they're playing your national anthem. And her excuse, oh, I didn't know they lied to me. I didn't know they were going to play the national anthem now.
Yeah. Again,
like, what did you think they were going to play while you were getting the awards? The three Americans get the awards. Should they have played another country's national anthem?
I don't want to belabor. We got a lot to get to, so I want to talk about college sports now. The guys be able to make money. Again, we got a lot of music stuff to get to. I got a whole bunch of stuff for Jeff and I to talk about. But I just want to finish this up with, you know, I used to love to watch women's soccer in the Olympics or the World Cup. I have to be honest. I loved the women. I thought it was really competitive. The U.S. had a great team, and it was 2 years ago. I think not at the Olympics. It was I think the World Cup. They embarrassed themselves out there, and then half of them were protesting, kneeling. And I'll tell you this: I'll never watch the women. I don't care if they change the team. They'd have to get rid of every one of them, and then I will possibly think about it. But I am so down on watching the women's soccer team because, again, nobody told you have to go out and compete for your country. You're not competing for yourself. This isn't some team, you know, that happens to be in the United States. They took the Red Bulls and sent them on an international journey. This is the United States Olympic or World Cup soccer team. You represent your country. You don't like your country? Go do something else. And that I will not ever condone it. And I'm sorry, while you have the right to do anything, Jeff, and you're 100% right, and where you do it is up to you, but the minute you put on that red, white, and blue uniform, you've lost that ability to make that decision for yourself. I'm sorry.
No, while I agree, okay,
yeah.
That's all out the window at this point in time, because as soon as they allowed Colin Kaepernick kneel during the national anthem while he was in uniform for the 49ers, they ruined out on every level for every athlete in every league, because now they're going to say, well, he did it, I can do it. And then now you had him doing it and this one doing it. Then now somebody else joins the fray and does it.
It's
avalanche to the point where there's going to be kids in fucking Little League sooner or later that are going to be protesting.
Jeff, I agree. But I have less of a problem, and again, I have a problem. Everybody who knows me knows that I don't condone any of that. But I have less of a problem with a pro athlete that whether it's the morons, you know, LeBron, Kaepernick, any of these false, fake, you know, icons, and that's what they are, false, fake icons. I have less of a problem if they do it. They're not representing their country. If LeBron James went to the Summer Olympics this year, and competed for the United States of America in the Olympics and protested, I would be all over him for it, and rightfully so. And if any of the guys go down there and they want to compete for the U.S. team, then you stand for the flag, you stand for the anthem, and you deal with it. Otherwise, don't do it. So I agree. Jeff, we're on the same page. I understand your point. We're past it. We're never going to probably get it back. We'll have to. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
I don't, Tom. And you know, the sad part is, how do you even come close to getting it back?
I don't think you can.
What is it that's going to happen to get it back?
Well, it does happen, Jeff. Think about the 60s. There were so many people out there, you know, all the young kids who were burning flags and draft cards and they were protesting the Vietnam War. And then in the 70s and then into the 80s, a lot of that went away. It was not nearly as much. Can it go back around? Yeah, it can. I don't think it will, because it's been so indoctrinated now into our colleges, into our schools. The younger generation doesn't have the same patriotic feel that our generation had. And maybe it's our fault. Maybe we didn't bring that up enough in our children. But my father never taught me to be patriotic. My father never, you know, made me stand for things. There's something that you were taught to do, and you did it. So I think that's the difference. And you're right. Who knows if it ever comes back again? But it has a chance.
I think, you know, we did go to Catholic school.
Yeah.
So when you went to Catholic school, what happened? You started every day with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
You sang a couple songs for your country every day.
Yep.
And you know, it was kind of ingrained in you. You had to do the right thing.
Yep.
You know, you had to watch the flag when you, you know, sometimes you were one of the ones that got to raise or lower the flag at your school.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was kids in my school that got to do that.
Sure, absolutely.
So, you know, you were taught the right way.
Mm-hmm.
At my job, okay, where we put up new flags. One day we had, I wasn't there, but this guy who claimed to have been a soldier of some kind went up to the guy and said, we're putting the flag up because they didn't put the American flag up first. And he was like, listen, he goes, I'm just trying to educate you on the proper way of doing it. Because if the wrong person sees it, you can have a problem. They could come and complain about this. The American flag is the first flag up all the time, no matter what happens, no matter how many flags are there. It is the first flag that goes up. It can't touch the ground. There's a lot of different rules.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
If you really respect it,
mm-hmm.
you would learn some of them, and not you. But
yeah, in general.
And you would find that there's a lot of interesting things as to why, you know, things are done. But half these people wouldn't care nowadays, and that's a shame of it.
It is.
I don't let the flag touch the ground when I'm handling it.
Absolutely. I have a flag hangs in front of my house. You know, when it's going to be a really bad storm, I go out, I roll it back up, I put it in the house because I don't want it to hit the ground. You know, listen, you have to take pride in where you live. The United States is not the most perfect country in the whole world. There is no such thing. There is things that I would change tomorrow about a lot of it. But it is still the best country out there, and I dare anybody here who dislikes this country to go live in another country and tell me how much fun they have there, Jeff. And if you don't respect the fact of what we have here and how we have it and how we got here and the people who sacrificed to get us here, then you are delusional and don't deserve to live in this country.
I agree.
That's my political message for the weekend, guys.
Because there's more and more people that are standing behind situations like this is what makes it disgusting.
Yeah, no, 100%. And listen, guys, Hard Rock and Sports, Chef and Tom here every Thursday night. I hope you guys stick around. We got a lot more to get to. I want to do one more sports story. Then we'll get to some music, and then we'll come on back toward the end of the show. But we'll be here till about 9:30, and again, we're here every Thursday night. Again, let everybody out there know the Hard Rock and Sports show is here. Jeff Towinski, Tom Florio, and you guys every Thursday night. We do this and have some fun. We'll be off on the 28th. I'm going to be in Florida for a week. So unless I decide to do the show from Florida, which is always a possibility, I'll do a little live show out there. But more than likely, we'll be off. We'll come back August the 5th with our Hard Rockin' Sports NFL training camp show. We'll break down. And, Jeff, nothing better on this show than football. Nothing better.
No, I have to agree.
And you know what? I'll give you a quick one before we get to the college football. You know, Aaron Rodgers actually has until tomorrow to opt out of his 2021 Green Bay contract. Is there a chance he opts out, Jeff? If he's that unhappy, will he opt out?
I guess we'll find out. I would think that the answer to that would be yes, but if he when was he first allowed to do that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's on tomorrow, like if he has a one-day window. I just saw today that tomorrow is his last chance to opt out. His chance to opt out of his pro contract for 2021. So
if it is indeed his last chance, then that means that he had the chance already and he said no.
Tomorrow. He has until tomorrow to do it. So I don't know if it's been a week window. I don't know if he's had a month window. I have no idea. Didn't hear this until today. Do I think he's going to opt out? No, I think he honestly wants to stay in Green Bay. I don't know why he had all. I think everything to this point was about him getting a raise. I think he saw Dak Prescott get $40 million. He saw Mahomes get $50 million, and he said, "I'm pretty much the best quarterback in the league. I'm only making $33 million. I want more money." I think this is all that's about.
I don't know if I'd say he's the best quarterback in the NFL anymore.
Well, let's put it this way. So Mahomes might be the most gifted, but if I was playing in the – let's put it this way. If you were playing in one game right now, okay, and you were putting up your own money, your house, to win the game, right this minute, who's the guy you're putting behind center?
Mahomes.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I might have agreed with you until I saw the Super Bowl. I still think it's very close, but if I'm going to pick one guy – in a big game, I'm gonna take Aaron Rodgers. He gives you enough. He's done it for a very long time, Jeff, and done it very well.
He's only done it once, Tom.
No. I get it. He only won one Super Bowl. So did Mahomes. But Ken Graham. Ohio State, Ken Graham. Hey, listen, not starting quarterback for the Giants for a little while. But, I would tell you that I would probably take Aaron Rodgers. He's done it in some big spots. The guy can still play the game. Nothing wrong with Mahomes.
Yeah,
he's
only been to the big game once.
I agree with you.
I'll even take three off because he sat on the bench for 3 years. So in 14 years, he's been there once.
I will not argue that point with you. Yes, I think that, but then you can say the same thing about your boy Drew Brees, only one appearance.
But I didn't say Drew Brees is the greatest quarterback in the NFL today.
Well, you have in the past before you retired.
I have in the past.
Okay.
Okay, yesterday, I changed my clothes. I didn't wear the same clothes today, right?
Semantics. Listen, you can't go wrong with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the future of the NFL.
You can't go wrong with the pink Macanudo.
Yeah, you can't, yeah. I don't see him opting out. This was a ploy to get more money out of the Packers. He will be a Green Bay Packer this year. After that, who knows?
Well, we'll find out in about 24 hours.
Yes, we will. And again, we'll discuss the whole league, all the stuff going on. We're looking forward to seeing all of it on doing that on August the 5th when we do the NFL show here, like we do every year. So let's talk quickly about the college kids, Jeff, getting the right.
Just changed your nickname again.
Now we reduce it to Tommy Pinks. That's where we're gone now.
Yeah, well, it's going to change, man. We're going to see. It's going to be a variation of the pink Macanudo. I'm going to see how it goes. And I got people watching.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they're trying to gauge your personality against these nicknames.
None of it bothers me, Jeff. None of it affects me. I will not acknowledge it.
It's somebody that you know.
I do.
Oh, yes.
Is it
somebody
I respect?
You know very well.
Is it somebody I respect?
Yes.
Is it somebody that I care about their opinion?
Probably, yes.
Because Matt, Matt, your assistant Matt, I don't really care about, right? Matt,
no, I have no
Matt Sozio.
No correspondence with Mr. Salitri here.
No, it's not Salitri. I'm talking about your boy Matt Sozio.
No. Your twin brother.
No, my twin brother. I've seen you guys had the same stash back in the day, the same cocoon that would build up, but a whole other story.
Wow. No, not Snatch, man. The pink Macanudo he may eat once in a while.
Again, so let's talk about the college. Let's talk about how college football just changed. I love college football. I love the pro game, but Saturdays in September, October, November are absolutely my favorite. I get up early, 9 o'clock. I watch the ESPN college football show for 3 hours. I don't watch straight through. But I watch. I love the college football show. I love college football. When I get the chance to retire, I'm going to travel the country. I want to go to the Big House. I want to go to the Notre Dame. I want to see games. There's nothing better getting up from noon till 11, 12 o'clock at night watching college football. Having said that, Jeff, the game has changed. And
I can hear you, and I like college football too, but I can think of so many other things that are much better than watching college football.
Now, again, on a Saturday, where I don't even say it this way, when you get into October and it's getting a little colder outside, and maybe you get that rainy Saturday afternoon, there's nothing better sitting on your couch with the remote in your hand. Good game, VIP, good college baseball this year. The tournament, the World Series was great. It's always great. But there's something special about college football for me, especially you get that afternoon game, the 4 o'clock game. You're watching, and now with the Big Ten channels and all that, I could see Nebraska play even though they suck week to week. But I think the college game changed big time today, Jeff, because they've now made it legal for players to benefit on their likeness and their name. Which I don't disagree with, because I don't agree with paying college players to play the game, because you're getting a $150,000 education theoretically. But I also think that if a university could sell that guy's jersey with his name on it or his likeness on some sort of memorabilia or merchandise, I think that player has the right to benefit from that. Do you agree with that?
Well, maybe if it's his last year. I mean, do you think that somebody should come in, has a great freshman year, right, or whatever, and the next 3 years is capitalizing on that? Maybe they should cut it down to the last 2 years of his college career. He can make some money. Or, you know, maybe his junior year, he can make 35% of the money raised from jersey sales and autographs. By the time he's a senior, maybe he get 50% of that money. You know, you don't want to – it's going to drive them to greed because there are going to be certain players that are, you know, going to be money-driven like that.
Okay.
It may prevent some players from coming out.
Absolutely. I was just going to say the same thing. I think that absolutely is the case. A guy who's a questionable player in college but got a big name can stay an extra year now. We'll stay longer. I agree with that.
You know, and it may in the long run hurt some of these guys because, say, you got a guy that was a couple notches beyond questionable.
Yeah.
Okay? Not a surefire, but a couple notches beyond questionable.
Right.
And now he wants to stay in an extra year because he knows he's going to get paid.
Yes.
And if he does good, it's going to he'll go into the end of the first round, beginning of the second round in the draft. But now he gets hurt. Okay? Where he could have maybe went in the mid to second end of the second round as a pick, maybe even into the third round, but had an NFL career. But now, you know, wanted to stay an extra year, gets hurt in college. Now we may never get to play again. No,
I get it.
I understand that these are chances that everybody takes.
100%.
But depending on when certain things happen in somebody's career, it could end up ruining their career. And now maybe you did it for $100,000 a year in college.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to going to the pros and getting $1 million a year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could work more the opposite way, too.
Listen, I agree. And Patrick, I know they're allowed to do TV commercials now. They're allowed to do a lot of stuff. I don't think they should be allowed to do that. Now, they're not allowed to do commercials for gambling sites, adult entertainment, recreational, for alcohol, recreational drugs, even legal ones. There's a few things they're not allowed to do. I don't believe that they should be endorsing that kind of anything like that, no commercials. I do believe that if the university sells a jersey, Jeff, with the player's name on the back, that guy should benefit 50%, 70%, whatever it is. And if the guy has the ability to sell his autograph, he should be allowed to. It's his name, a T-shirt, something with his likeness on it, especially if the university sells it. I think that person should be allowed to.
If the university is going to start to sell jerseys.
They do.
Okay, but if they start to sell jerseys,
yep.
I can see the money going to the university.
Okay.
And not the player. If the player wants to sell his autograph or go to autograph signings or something of that nature, I would have less of a problem with that than the university putting out a jersey. And him demanding that he gets a percentage of that
but
jersey.
Why? It's his name on the back of that jersey. Why shouldn't he benefit something from that? Again, I understand your point. And I'm not saying that he should get the whole lot of it. But if you're Tennessee and Peyton Manning, you're putting out Peyton Manning jerseys and you're making $2 million a year, you're telling me that Peyton Manning shouldn't get a piece of that, 25%, 30%, 50%, whatever.
I think using Peyton Manning...
It's just an example. It's an example, though. But let's say anybody.
I understand that, but it's a bad example.
Why?
Because Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. Some kid coming out of USC next year or Michigan is not going to be on the same level.
I agree with you.
How about this? Justin Fields. Let's take three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence. Okay. Justin Fields and Trey Lance.
Okay.
Now, I picked all three of them because Trevor Lawrence is more than likely going to start, closely followed by Justin Fields, who I think will end up starting before the second half of the year happens. Mm-hmm. And then Trey Lance, who's probably not going to start this year at all, probably more next year.
Probably right.
Okay, so now three different quarterbacks in three different situations, a starter, a soon-to-be starter,
mm-hmm.
and a future starter. And when I mean future, like way off into next
yeah.
following season, if not more. they should all get equal distribution of their names being on a jersey if it's sold.
But I'm not talking about when they're in the pros, Jeff. I'm talking about when they're in college, you know, and they're
I'm just saying. He's a college player.
But I'm saying is, again, if the right guard.
Well, after the fact, you're saying about Peyton Manning getting his jersey and after the fact.
No. I just use Peyton Manning as an example. I'm saying if the Alabama quarterback this year, if his jersey in Alabama this year sells $1 million worth of jerseys, is he not entitled to make something of that off that jersey? I'm not talking about 3 years from now when he's in the pros and they're selling jerseys. I don't know how you work that. I'm saying from his freshman year to his senior year, or as long as he stays, and the university is selling on their website, in their stands, you know, in their stadium, and they're selling uniforms with his name on the back, doesn't he have the right to benefit from that? Why should the university make that money when they're getting the TV deal, they're getting the money from the stadiums, all of that? Shouldn't the player, I don't want them to get a paycheck. I don't want the college players to get paid, but if you're selling stuff with their name on it, with their image on it, they should get a piece of that money.
I don't know. I don't think that they should get any of it. I just actually don't like the idea of them getting paid at all.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not a big fan of it. I think this opens up a lot of avenues where funny stuff can happen. You know, a guy could say, hey, I'm showing up once a week at this place to drive in business for them, and they're giving them $20,000 a week cash, and funny stuff's going on. Listen, point shaving happens. You know, teams, guys throw games. You get indebted to people. It's a lot easier now to make stuff like that happen with this, because now it's, hey, I'm doing advertisement for them, and they're giving me $50,000 a week. Where's the cap on it? But I don't think they should be able to do any endorsements. But I think if the right guard for Michigan, if his jersey sales are $50,000 for some reason, he should benefit a few dollars from that.
And what is a fair amount in your eyes?
I don't know. That's the question I can't answer, Jeff. You know,
even at 10% is $5,000.
I would say he's entitled, my opinion, 50% of the profit. After the university pays off all the costs, if there's whatever the profit of that jersey is, it's his name. The university paid for it, so they could have. And the guy whose name is on it, if I go out and buy a Nebraska football player's jersey this year, Jeff, because of it's his jersey, he should benefit from that. And as far as I'm concerned, 50% of the profit. You paid for it, but it's my name, my likeness, and I'm the reason that somebody's buying the jersey.
I just don't. Overall, I don't like the
idea. Listen, Jeff, I'm not disagreeing with that. I really am not disagreeing with you on it. I don't like the situation. You're a college athlete. You're getting, 90, you know, all those guys on the sideline are getting a free college education. That's $100,000 and better of college education in the Atlanta. $50,000 a semester, $35,000 a semester. So real estate, you're getting more than that. So you're getting the benefit of a free college education and a chance to highlight yourself to go to the pros. To me, that's the pay. But if you want to say that they're entitled to make some money off of their likeness, I agree. I don't want them doing TV ads and all that kind of stuff. But they're allowed to now. They're allowed to.
I imagine there are certain ones that are doing that in certain markets, because it's a smaller market and the college football may be a big draw in that market.
Yeah.
I'm going to step into the other room real quick.
Good. Do your thing. Good. So anyway, guys, we're talking here, Tom and Jeff. You know, what's your guys' thoughts? Anybody out there want to throw a little something up there and tell me what you think? Do you think I'm wrong? Do you think Jeff's wrong? Do you agree with both of us? Who knows? But, again, college players, it's an amateur sport. I don't believe they should get a paycheck for it. thank you, Patrick. But no, I don't think they should get a paycheck. I firmly believe that. But again, I think that, you know, if somebody's willing to pay them for their autograph, if somebody's willing to, I guess they're allowed to, you know, let them, you know, come and do a commercial for their business, you know, so be it. You know, listen, there's some of these players who are bigger than the pro athletes in their town. You know, a kid who plays quarterback for Alabama, a kid who plays running back his senior year, like Najee Harris or Derrick Henry a few years ago, you know, they're legends in their towns. You know, if they have the ability to make money, then they're letting them, that's fine. I don't think they should be able to do it. I do believe they should be allowed to make money off of their image and likeness, especially if the university or the NCAA is profiting. So if the university is selling your jersey, you should get a piece of it. So thanks. That's just my take on it. Patrick, I couldn't agree with you more. I think 50% of merchandise and no endorsements. I don't want, you know, some college kid, you know, filming commercials every week. I don't. I think it's ridiculous. But let's move on from that a little bit.
You're moving on for something that you did not acknowledge, man.
What's that?
Patrick said 50% for merchandise sales. But no,
I agree. I just said I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Oh, wait, you jumped all over it. You didn't let me finish my statement.
Oh, boy. Don't go to this one before that, please.
And he said, I'll go along with you, Tommy Pink Mac. This is sticking like glue already.
I shake my head. Patrick, I'm disappointed that you play along with this moron's things, but that's all right. That's okay. I can take it. By next week, it'll be forgotten. It won't even be around anymore, and I don't have to worry about it. So I'll make you a deal. Here's what I'm making a deal. If you can get 20 people to consistently call me that, I'll make up Hard Rock and Sports Shows with Tommy Pink Mac on it. How's that?
I think you want
people. I don't want. I have no interest in it. But if you can get 20 people to keep doing it consistently for a couple of weeks, I'll buy the shirts.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. What are you going to do for a day?
Let's see what we can do.
Hey, little quick question for everybody. Cubs pitched a no-hitter. Seven innings, which we all know, Major League Baseball is not acknowledging, but it took four pitchers to do it. Is that a no-hitter? If it was nine innings, let's say it was a nine-inning game, and four pitchers completed a no-hitter. Is it a no-hitter, Jeff?
Yeah.
I say no. I say no.
It's a no-hitter simply because nobody got a hit.
I got you. But I'm not putting it in the same category as the guy who went nine innings, threw 115 pitches, and wound up with a no-hitter. I'm just not putting it
there. I don't think that it should be.
Yeah.
That to me is definitely a true no-hitter.
That's a true no-hitter, my opinion. Just curious. I've been with the Cubs, I think, a week or so ago, so I just had to get that out there.
What is the terminology?
Okay.
For what happens in sports where they call the one... Oh, man, I can't think of it off the top of my head. It would have been a perfect analogy for it, too. Oh, man, wow. Hopefully it'll come through.
All right, if it comes back in, you jump it back in. But let's jump around. I want to do a little music now. I want to come back after this to the NFL. NFL says it's okay to be gay and a football fan. Thank God for the NFL, Jeff. If we didn't have the NFL out there, we wouldn't know how to act. We wouldn't know that it was bad to be white. We wouldn't know that it was okay to be gay and football fans. Thank God for the NFL, Jeff, because they're okay.
It's
but,
still bad to be white.
Yeah, I think it's still bad to be white, but it's okay to be gay. And Jeff, a lot of the guys in your league can be arrested for carrying Uzis, and that's okay. But that's the NFL. We'll get to that in a few minutes. I want to do a little. Let's shift gears, as they call it, Jeff.
What was it is?
Huh?
Wasn't it?
Yeah. So let's.
It was the security guards.
Yeah. Let's. Let's talk about Ted Nugent. Are you a big Ted Nugent fan by any chance?
No, not really.
But let me ask you a question. The guy's been around a long time. The guy's, I think, again, I'm not the biggest Ted Nugent fan in the world, but he says he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Jeff, because Jan Wenner, who's Mr. Rolling Stone and the head of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I guess he bought it a few years ago, is against the Second Amendment and will not ever let Ted Nugent get in. Now, Ted Nugent's been around a long time, so a lot of albums. I would call him a little influential. The guy's, you know, kind of been doing this for a little bit. I think Ted Nugent's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and I think it's disgusting that he's not in. And people like ABBA and Patti Smyth and somebody's the Chuck D and Public Enemy, those people get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do you think that these people should be held out, or somebody like Ted Nugent should be held out for political reasons?
No, first of all, Patti Smyth has a lot of rock and roll roots. Mm-hmm. So I don't have so much of a problem with her being in. But the other names that you mentioned, yeah, because they're not even in the world of rock music.
Right.
As far as Ted Nugent goes, this could be an argument that could go on forever. That's like saying this Pete Rose, the gambler, is being kept out of the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose, the baseball player, is being kept out of the Hall of Fame because Pete Rose, the gambler, did something wrong. So now in this case, Ted Nugent the musician is being kept out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It was Ted Nugent, the protester, mm-hmm. the NRA member, however you want to refer to him as, has beliefs that differ from yours. So I don't see it. If the guy is going up there for music, mm-hmm. then it should just be based on the music, and that's it. If he fits the criteria, he fits. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
You know, the thing I read about with Ted Nugent, and he said, I don't care if I ever get in. Do you really believe that the people who don't get in don't care if they get in? Like, you know, like I see like the guys from Maiden, they'll say, who cares if we get in, we get in. I don't care if we ever get in, no big deal. I think that if you're at that level, you know, of the Iron Maidens, the Judas Priests, I'm trying to think of people who are not there, Joe Klecko, you know, guys who never got to, you know, who probably deserved to be in the Hall of Fame and didn't get in. I think no matter what they say, I think if you're at that kind of level at your craft, whatever that is, sports, music, or whatever, I think no matter what, that's an achievement that each and everybody at that level would want to be at. And I think downplaying it is wrong. I think you should want to strive. That's, to me, is longevity. That's a place where people will go to and see you. So I don't necessarily buy into that, Jeff. And I think it does them a disservice by saying it doesn't matter. Do you agree with that? Do you understand where I'm going?
Yeah, but for a band like Iron Maiden that never really had, you know, the help of many videos to play.
Agreed.
Radio airplay, you know, basically team magazines to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And a loyal fan base that stayed loyal to them for close to 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and they're in the position that they're in today. Do I need Iron Maiden to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for me to believe that they're one of the better names in music?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I don't think anybody would have recognized them outside of the genre of metal anyway. But I understand what you're saying, without a doubt.
I'm asking you, not for you. Yeah, but not for you. I'm saying is, if Jeff Towinski was in a band like Iron Maiden, I would think at the end of the day, while that's great album sales and all that stuff, but I think somewhere inside you'd want that debt. Now, I think it's different with the Sports Hall of Fame than it is the Music Hall of Fame, because I think the Music Hall of Fame is very, very political, and it's kind of set up differently. But I think in general, you want that, you know, you want that last, to me, that's like the last big accomplishment for a band or an athlete. It's the last, you know, kind of pat on the back, so to speak. And I disagree. I think if you're an athlete or you're a musician, you strive for that, you know, legacy, so to speak. And I think it's wrong to downplay it.
Well, no, because when you think of some of the bands that haven't made it in.
Yeah.
It's almost like, well, if some of these bands didn't make it in, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, didn't Rush ever make it in?
Rush made it. Yes. Kiss made it, yep.
Well, some of the other bands that did not make it, and I would turn around and say to myself, well, you know what? They didn't make it, and they've been around for God knows how long.
Yeah.
I can't see my band. We're just starting out. You know, we're making it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because we have a hit song and, you know, they're making commercials out of it and everybody's using it. Everybody likes it. And it sold more copies as a single than any other single in the last 5 years. So they acknowledge us and they're putting us in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think it makes that much of a difference because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is like a joke.
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
They find just a reason to put just about everybody into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, again,
to me, it's a joke.
No, I get it, but I still think that by minimizing it, you're not necessarily doing it justice, I'm trying to come up with the right way to say it. Just to me, if I was a professional musician at that level of Iron Maiden, I would be disappointed not to get that nod. If I was a professional athlete, you know, who's at that level, like a guy like Joe Klecko. You know, Harry Carson famously wrote the Hall of Fame tome. I don't want to be in the Football Hall of Fame at this point, and got in the next year. You know, to me, I think you minimize it and you do it a disservice. I think anybody at that level, that should be something you strive for. That's what you do it for, is for that legacy. I know the money and the aspect of it, but to me, I think that's something that you do a disservice when you don't make that move. That's just
true. Do you think bands like Iron Maiden and Black Sabbath and other bands that haven't made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are brokenhearted because they're not in there? I find that hard to believe.
No. I missed the point. I agree with you. I think they'll come out and say that. My point of it is I think they should be disappointed. I do think Iron Maiden should be disappointed because they do deserve to be in there. You know what I mean?
Well, they may deserve to be in there, but think of the bands that don't deserve to be in there today.
I got you.
They were allowed to get in first, so it's like, why do you even? I wouldn't even let it bother me.
No, I you know what, Jeff? I got your point. I for me though, I think that you as an artist or a professional athlete, to me that's what you strive for. You strive for that legacy to be in the Hall of Fame for your, you know, to be thought of as among the greatest of your genre, your sport, your music.
But you know what, Tom, you could fix it once again. You could fix all of that by just saying this is the Music Hall of Fame.
No, I get that part. No, okay. I get
calling it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and putting ABBA in it.
Yeah.
It's just to the point where it's like, you know what? We're better off out here than in there.
I think at this point, the Hall of Fames have been contaminated. I think all of them. Baseball, football, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, obviously. We rail on it all the time. I think they've been contaminated, and I don't hold them in the high regard as I used to. Football puts in 7 guys a year. It's just way too many. This guy's going in. They have no business. Baseball Hall of Fame is ridiculous at this point. And, yes, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is strictly political at this point. I know you're not a fan, but how is Jon Bon Jovi not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean, let's be honest.
I don't know, dude. I really don't know.
I'm just saying the guy's been doing it. He was one of the biggest sellers of music back in the 80s, still out there doing the thing. You know, again, I'm not the biggest Bon Jovi fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying this right is right. I mean, how is Joe Klecko not in the NFL Hall of Fame? I mean, you know, it becomes political. But, again, I think minimizing it is not the answer either. And, you know, like I said, it's something, as far as I'm concerned, that people should. If we were doing this professionally, Jeff, I would want to be in the Radio Hall of Fame. I would love to be. That's what I would strive for.
Think of what you just said.
Go ahead.
You just said you would, if you were doing this professionally.
Yeah.
You would want to be in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Absolutely, 100%.
You didn't say the Hard Rock Music Hall of Fame. You didn't say Sports Hall of Fame. You said Radio Hall of Fame, covering everything.
No, I got your point.
So now you have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
yeah.
But yet it covers all of this music. And all of this, you can't fit all of this into here. It just doesn't work.
No, but
that's what they're doing.
No, I get your point. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has veered off, and you're right. It should just change to the Music Hall of Fame, but it doesn't carry the same, you know, come to the Music Hall of Fame. You know, it's the Country Music Hall of Fame. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I get it, but inside that, you know, they've expanded it. I don't like it. I don't think Chuck D, I don't think ABBA, I don't think a lot of these bands that I've seen get in, the Cars, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it to all these guys getting in the Rock Hall of Fame. They've cheapened it. They've all done all that. I get your point. They should
no,
be separate
they
ones.
They shouldn't be in there.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be in there at all. But when you, the way that they have it set up.
I'm agreed.
It's like, it's a joke. So
yep.
Who gives a fuck and if I'm making it in there or not?
Yep.
That's how I looked at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. Listen, I agree. They've cheapened it. It's not the same, and it probably never will be again. But again, I just think that at the end of the day, if you're eligible to be in your relative Hall of Fame, that you would be a little more despondent or a little more upset or a little more disappointed. I know as a fan. I'm completely disappointed that Iron Maiden's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Does it mean anything, Jeff? Is it the end of the day for the guys from Iron Maiden? They've had a tremendous career. But for me as a Maiden fan, I take a little bit of, you know, hey, you know, my band should be in there. They've done enough. You know, they've done more than Guns N' Roses. You know, they've done more than a lot of these bands to get in there.
You
and they
look at it as you get upset and you say, Maiden should be in there. They're doing them a terrible injustice by not putting Iron Maiden in there. Iron Maiden deserves to be in there. Or do you sit back and you're like, you know what? They're not in there. And that's a shame. They do deserve to be in there.
Yeah.
But you want to know something? You call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you put all of these people that are not rock and roll into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And now you want to take one of the biggest metal bands, one of the best metal bands, and lump them in with people they don't deserve to
yeah.
be there with.
Yeah.
That's like taking your grandpa's Vega
mm-hmm.
and entering it in the Indy 500 when you know that it's not going to win.
Yeah.
Okay? They're not a commercial band. They were never really a commercial band.
No, I agree with that, but that doesn't mean that being in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame cheapens the fact of how they did it. I mean, listen, we both agree.
In a way, it does, because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame cheapened itself.
Agreed, 100%. But at the end of the day, it's the only Hall of Fame we got, so you got to say, okay, if you're going to at least they would give it a little bit more credibility if you say, well, all the real bands got in there, and then they added these other guys. I understand it's cheapened at this point. There's no way to go back from that. There's no way in the world that we can look at any of the Hall of Fames. When I look at baseball, and I see Harold Baines get in. You know, when I look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and I see ABBA and the Cars getting in there, I say to myself, all right, it ain't the same. But for me, as a hard rock and metal fan, I would at least give it a little bit of more credibility to say, oh, at least they finally acknowledged Iron Maiden. That's all.
Yeah, I listen. I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
Once again, when you know, it's like going to a seafood restaurant and they're serving hamburgers like McDonald's. And they're trying to pass it off as surf and turf. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, no.
You know,
fair
it's
enough.
Just, if it means that much to you as a fan, then you need to sit back and think that, you know what, this particular Hall of Fame is a joke.
Yeah.
It's a fucking joke. Okay? The Iron Maiden is too good of a band to be lumped into something that it's not.
Yeah, listen, I 100% agree with you. Couldn't agree more. You know, so again, listen, I just brought it up. I'm just, some stuff I wanted to kick out there. Hey, you know, Jeff, just stay on, on music for a few more minutes. It was Canada Day. I think it was, I don't know if it was today or yesterday. Let me ask you a quick question. Can you give me your top three Canadian hard rock bands, hard rock metal, or three favorite Canadian bands?
Rush.
Okay.
Triumph.
I think we agree on that one.
Now,
I'll throw out some names to you so you can get an idea of some
of
the big... Okay, so I'm going
to
throw you a bunch, and then you can pick one out of this bunch. You ready? Neil Young, Nickelback, Bryan Adams, Heart, Loverboy.
Wait. Heart is not from Canada.
It has it on here, Heart being from Canada. I think the girls...
Wilson Sisters come from Seattle.
I'm just telling you, they have them listed as a Canadian band, so I'll take it out. I don't know enough to argue that point, so let's take them out. So I'll go back again. Neil Young, Nickelback, Bryan Adams, let's see, Guess Who, Bachman Turner Overdrive, April Wine, Loverboy, Pat Travers, let's see, anybody else in there worth a Helix? Trying to think of anybody else that I would put. Harum Scarum, we talked about that. Danko Jones, not a big fan myself. It's about the biggest names that I see. Bob Rock. Those are the big ones, Jeff, that I got. So can you pick out of that group of bands, can you pick yourself a third one? I'm picking Loverboy.
There was a lot of bands, that you mentioned. Maybe Neil Young, but...
Yeah. Kick Axe. Yeah, those are the biggest ones. I would go Loverboy for me. I was a pretty nice, pretty big Loverboy fan as a kid. They got about three or four songs that I would really say I liked. I always liked Mike Love. Oh, is it Mike Love? Singer?
No, that's the Beach Boys.
Is it? Yeah, no, there was...
The fuck was that guy? Is it Paul Dean?
No, Loverboy?
Paul Dean, I believe.
Hold on. Now I got to look it up. Hold on. Love. Something Love. Mike Reno. That's it. I didn't have to look it up. Mike Reno was the lead singer of Loverboy.
Well, Paul Dean was
he's in there. Yes, he's a member.
Guitar player.
Yes. I could not have picked any of the other ones out of a lineup. Mike Reno, a whole bunch of guys in this band. Scott Smith, Paul Dean, Mike Frenette, a bunch of these guys. But anyway, yeah, so I would pick Loverboy. Happy Canada Day. I don't know what that represents up there, but to all our Canadian friends and friends. And actually, we have a big following in Canada, Jeff. I don't know. You know, it's one of our top. It actually beats out Israel. I know that you're, the motherland for you is the place you worry about. We are down to 6% from 9. So we have to kind of work on our Israeli relations.
I'm kind of thinking Menachem probably fucking crossed the road during an air raid. Didn't make it, you know.
All one guy?
They weren't that high, the numbers. All it takes is one to get fucked up and fucks up the whole batch, you know.
Yeah, you okay? I know you're a little tired tonight. You all right to keep going?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay,
man.
No problem. We'll keep right there.
I am tired. You know why I'm tired?
Why?
My dog woke up at 3:30 this morning.
Come on.
3:30 this morning.
Dude, I'll tell you one. My dogs sleep with us. Usually one of them on the bed, one on the floor. But they do it that way until about anywhere from 2 to about 3:45. Somewhere in that time, my older dog, Pico, will wake me up. He'll come over to the side of the bed, and he'll start to whimper. And that means I have to get up and go get him a treat. And sometimes it's a couple of carrots or some apples or a cookie. Both dogs get it. They go on the pee-pee pad. They do their business. And then they both get into bed, and they will sleep from about whatever time that is till about 10 o'clock in the morning if my wife stays in bed that long. And it happens every single night. Monday through Sunday, my dogs will wake me up anytime in between, and they know who to come to. I get up. I have to give them a treat. They do their business. And then they get back into bed, and they're done for the night. I get up at 4:20, and they don't even budge. But every night, like clock.
How did you get them hooked on to that?
You know what? I can't figure out where it started, but my older dog normally sleeps on the floor. He sleeps on. He's got a bed at the foot of the bed, and he sleeps in there. And he's a very restless guy until that point. And at some point in the night, he knows he's getting a treat. He wakes me up. He gets it. And then he's done. And at that point, you couldn't wake him up with fireworks in the room going off.
It's fucking great. But I'm, having a dog is one of the greatest things in the world. And then you hear stories like this, and you're like, you know what? Thank fucking God mine doesn't do shit like this.
But no, it's funny. So my parents, when I went to Florida a few weeks back, a month ago, you know, they never experienced that. So my parents actually stayed at my house. You know, they would pop by during the day, and then at night they would sleep over. And I had to explain to them the routine, and they didn't believe me. So they saw it firsthand. It would literally wake my parents up, and one of them would get up, go get them one of the treats, whether it's, you know, a handful of apples, I cut up apples for them, or carrots, or a cookie. And then the dogs would eat, and my mom was like, what did you do? How did you cut? And I said, I don't know, but I can't break it. I don't know. Because my dog is relentless. If I tell him, like, shut up, go to bed, he'll just stay there doing it until I do it.
Yeah,
you
know, I know.
He's like the kid in the corner. I want to go out. He's like that kid sitting in the corner, and after he goes, all right, I'm taking you out because I got no choice. It's a snowstorm, but you're going to go out. That's my dog. So until he gets what he wants, he's relentless.
You know, it's even worse for my dog because being that my dog has no eyes.
Correct.
Sometimes my dog sits and looks at things that she thinks are there, but they're not.
Right. Yes.
And then I came up with the theory, like with no eyes, my dog can still see somehow, some way, because there's times where she's dead on, where she's looking this way, and what she wants is right here.
Right.
And it's like, how the fuck did you know it was there?
It's the smell? Is it the smell of it, maybe?
It's got to be.
It has to be, right?
Like sometimes when I'm talking to her, she'll sit there like this, and I'm talking to her. Next thing you know, she's like this. Like, you know how the dog, the head tells, but
yeah,
she's
yeah.
making eye contact with me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stop that. You won't have none of those. Yeah. Do that anymore. Stop.
Yeah, it's.
But she just sits there and like looks at you like, oh my God. The other night, I took her upstairs and I was practicing.
Yeah.
And I put her on the ground, and she stood where I felt as though that she would be able to feel some of the vibrations.
Right.
She kind of sat between me and the bass amp.
Right.
Closer to me. But I think that, I think that she could actually feel the vibrations. And because she was a little further away from me than, you know, I really felt comfortable with, because if something happened,
yeah,
I couldn't just reach out and grab her, you know.
Sure.
But I got the stairs blocked off, so she's not going. She's not gonna get hurt.
Right.
But just, you know, still the whole thought that you got a dog with no eyes, and there she was making eye contact with you.
Yeah, it's creepy.
And you can see her blinking her eyes. You see the muscle moving, but it's like creepy. You know?
Yeah.
Stop it, please.
But I have to tell you, you know, there's not, to me, I love my dogs, and I get a kick every night when I come in the door and they bark and they go crazy for me, and I love every second of it. You know, and they have a routine. I walk in the door, and my dogs know they're getting a treat. So as soon as my wife does it, comes in, they bark for her, they hop. But when I come in, they know, they run to the refrigerator, they know they're getting something, and they go to their two spots, and I give them a handful of stuff, and that's it. And they know, you know, when I'm eating dinner, I cut them up a little something, and I feed it to them. You know, it's usually like a steamed sweet potato. My dogs are on a very strict diet, so they don't get sick again. But, you know, but to me, it's a lot of fun, and I enjoy it every day, and I look forward to it. And they're just good companions to me. And but yes, they wake me up every night. It could be, you know, Saturday night or Sunday morning, and the next thing I know, I hear my dog. You know, he's letting me know it's time, and I'm going to have to get up and do it. So my parents got a whole week of that when I go with them. My parents are staying there for a week, and you know, my father's going to shake his head every time I see him after that, and say, "What the hell did you do with those dogs?" So it is fun. But guys, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30, hanging out, having a good time, giving you our opinions, right or wrong, on the biggest news topics from sports and music. And we're going to keep doing this. We'll take a week off this month. We'll celebrate Jeff's birthday next week. And of course, on August the 5th, we'll be back. We're gonna nail it and have a big NFL football show. First one of the year. Well, first one, we did the NFL, the Super Bowl. Yeah, how funny is the Super Bowl going to feel this year, Jeff? I think it's actually on President's Weekend this year, or next year, technically.
It's better than being on fucking St. Patrick's Day.
That's right.
If they keep adding games, that's where we're going
to
be.
Are you looking forward to the extra game this year? Like, is it more exciting, less exciting? Does it not matter? They're playing 17 instead
less
of 16?
Exciting to me.
It is? Why?
I just don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't know yet. I kind of agree with you. I like the fact that there's less preseason games. I know you probably like more preseason games only because you think it's a chance for guys to make the roster. But
well, for those people, yeah, those are the ones who should be playing the game. Then
I agree.
Okay, you pretty much know the layout of every single preseason game. These guys are going to play two possessions or a quarter. Now they're going to play two quarters.
Yeah.
Now they're going to play three quarters. Now they're not going to play at all.
Yeah.
Or some idiot coach will say, "Today I'm going to play my starting quarterback because he only got 10 snaps last game, and he's going to play one period of this game."
Yeah.
But we're going to fucking make sure he gets hurt, and then we don't have him for the season.
Yeah. You know? Again, I'm not a big fan of the preseason games. I you know, years ago, Jeff, you're right, there was a formula to it. You know, game one of the preseason, the starters, your projected starters played one series and they were gone. Game two, they played a quarter and then they were gone. Game three, they played usually one drive into the second half and they were gone. And then the last week they played one quarter and they were gone. There was a method to the madness. Nowadays, there is no method to the madness. I don't watch preseason very often anymore. I get a couple of games here and there. But I don't know if I'm excited about the extra game in the NFL this year. It's almost too much. I do like the fact that the NFL will end President's Weekend. Now, listen, I don't get President's Day off normally, so it doesn't really matter to me. But I think for a lot of people, you know, people just enjoy, you know, people are going to be off. There'll be more partying. I think this Super Bowl this year, I don't know where it is. I think this Super Bowl is going to be huge. The first one now after the pandemic. I think the Super Bowl this year, Jeff, is going to be huge. You know what I mean? I think this one is...
Sorry, Tom.
That's okay. I think
3:30 in the morning came up quick.
I told you. We can end this anytime you're ready, so...
No, I think it's too much. I think it's too much. It should have been kept at 16 games for a lot of different reasons. You know, it used to end, then there'd be the two-week, three-week lull, and then all of a sudden you would get the baseball, would get started again.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, it would give you time to think what was going to happen for free agency and all of the different things that could possibly happen. the coaches getting fired. You know, it was a whole storyline with the football season as it was. And now that extra game, it just changes everything. It changes. And I'm not going to particularly like it.
Okay.
I don't like the preseason for a couple different reasons, but I also don't like the idea of an extra game either. You know, once a couple guys, key people get hurt for some big teams, I think that's going to make a difference.
I agree.
I
agree with you. I think the one thing you touched on a good point. I think the one thing that is probable is I think toward the end of the year, A, you might see a lot of games where the starters aren't playing all the way through. And I think you're also looking at a chance for guys to have a few more injuries. I don't know if they've upped the rosters this year. I don't know if they carry more than 50. I think they carry 53, but they play 48 on game day. I don't know if they're going to increase that. I think they should, but I don't
think they should.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to with that extra. I know it only sounds like one extra game, but I think it's still extra football. And I think the attrition in the league the last 10 years has been a lot greater. The guys are just bigger, stronger, faster.
You know what? You could do this. How about you could maybe add one per position group, like one receiver, but a receiver that takes into account a running back,
mm-hmm.
a tight end, and a wide receiver. Okay?
Yeah.
One offensive lineman.
Who could play any of the spots.
Play any position. One defensive lineman, linebacker. So choose wisely. One defensive back.
See,
one special teamer.
I think that's a good. I think it should be like the third quarterback type of thing, where if you're down to your last wide receiver, that guy can play. You know, if you're down to your only two running backs, the third running back can play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it should be like the quarterback. If the first two quarterbacks go down, then the guy can play in the game. You know, I think you can do something like that, or just say, we have the ability to add a guy to the roster last minute for an injury or whatever. I think you kind of have to do something at this point. But, you know the NFL. I want to do a little more NFL before we get back to music, before we end the show.
I also think that it's – you know what else, too?
What?
The changing of the numbers.
Good.
You're going to get people, too. You're going to have an extra game. Now you're going to have different people wearing different numbers. I think it's a lot of different changes happening. But
yeah, I don't like the number thing either. To be honest with you, I'm a traditionalist. I like the way the game's been played. I like the way, I like the uniform thing. Do I care at the end of the day? Probably don't. Does it really matter that much? But I agree with you. There's a lot of change this year, and I think it's going to be interesting. But like I said, I don't know, you kind of were a little dozing before. I think this Super Bowl this year is going to be huge because of what happened last year. And I think the Super Bowl this year, being on a President's Weekend, people back in bars, people having parties, I think the Super Bowl is going to be one big, huge party this year. And I'm interested to see what the NFL is going to do and how they're going to handle this year, if they're going to do anything different. I'm looking forward to football, to be honest with you. You know the show revolves around the game. We have a great time every week talking about the Jets, the Giants, and everything else. And the question is going to be, of course, are the Jets and Giants going to be relevant this year? I don't know, too early to tell for us, but we'll get into it later on. But I think we have a chance to have at least the semblance of good, solid football. Will they be successful? I don't know. But I don't think these are going to be bad football teams this year.
On the NFL.com.
Yeah.
NFL.com.
Okay.
Okay. Big, one of the main stories was today. It was the top 12 running backs, I think it is.
Okay.
Top 12, top 32 running backs in the league.
Okay.
Running back one.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think Barkley was placed?
I'm going to say maybe somewhere between 7 and 10.
Well, he was 7.
I had that feeling. I surprisingly, was it based on what they expect him to do this year or what he's done so far in his career? How's that?
To be honest with you, Tom, I was eating.
Okay.
And I was scanning through it real quick so that I could just pick out certain players.
Yeah, I don't think that's.
I just looked to see where he was. I didn't look.
Yeah, I don't think that's that far fetched. And again, after last year, listen, I love Saquon Barkley, and I think when he's healthy and playing, he's a weapon. But after last year, when he wasn't around And for some reason, the kid's name, who had a good season last year, has escaped me. He just signed with the 49ers. Just showing me that you can get by with an average back who plays really well, which they did last year. And you know, second half of the year, the kid had a great year, and the Giants went 5-3. I am excited for Saquon to get back. I think if he's healthy, he will be a weapon for the Giants. Do I think he's the best back in the league? I don't know. That's a tough one right now. Healthy and playing well, I think he could be. But, here we go. But when I say I don't know if it equates to a lot of wins this year for both teams, but I do think they'll both be better football teams. I don't think you're going to see the ugly football you did from the Jets last year. I don't think the Giants are going to come off at a 1-7 start. I think the Jets have it tough because they're in a tough division. I think that's a tough one for the Jets.
Division, but they're the fourth team in that tough division.
No, agreed. And that, but again, it still doesn't make them a bad football team.
It makes
sense. No, again, maybe in the realm of wins and losses, Jeff, there's a bad team because you're just a little behind the other teams in your division, or the Jets were a bad football team at times last year. Bad quarterback play, lots of mistakes, a bad coach. There's a difference. I don't know what to expect from this football team and this coaching staff yet. We'll see. But I don't expect them to be a bad football team. They're not be a good football team, but I don't expect them to be a bad football team this year. They should play better. They might not win 3 games. I don't know.
No, they're not going to – not this year. Maybe next year.
We'll see. I haven't a chance. Again, how good are the Patriots? How good are the Dolphins going to be? I think they're big questions. I don't know, I haven't gone through the rest of the rosters in the AFC. I'm looking forward to it. While I'm on vacation, I'll be going through my books. I'll be going through all my stuff so I can be ready for August 5th when we break down the NFL training camp. But we got a couple more minutes tonight. I do want to do one more NFL thing, if you don't mind. Then I want to probably finish up.
Go ahead.
I'm going to play a video, and then I want to talk about it. So give me a second. Let me find it. Okay, ready, Jeff?
All right, man. Go ahead. Pop it up there.
Dave, the Redneck Schultz, as the fans call you. You see something like this happen, it's got to be upsetting to you.
It don't upset me at all, baby. Let me tell you, I think it's great. You know what I mean? If you're going to go on the hunt, you got to be able to run with the big boys. If he can't run with the big boys, he should get out. He shouldn't come out here. Last time I was in San Francisco, I went downtown looking for a woman. You know what I mean? I wanted a woman. I couldn't find a woman. I found a lot of men that look like women. Now, you, Hulk Hogan, you belong in San Francisco. What's wrong with you, Dean? I'm telling you like it is, baby. You belong in San Francisco. That's your kind of place. That's your kind of people because you've never had a woman, baby. And now I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you right now.
Now that I had to play that first. That is about the funniest thing you've ever seen in your entire life.
Because I wanted a woman.
The best part of it is Oakland just nearly pisses himself. That's the best part. That is absolutely the best part of that. It's funny, and it just reminds me how politically incorrect that life was and the WWF was back in the day. I just think.
Was it Greg the Hammer Valentine called somebody Brown?
I think so, yes.
Dirty Brown Man.
Yes. Yeah, I just, it's hysterical. And listen, you got to laugh at it and take it for what it was. You can't sit there and just be, But I you sent me that, and I thought it was hysterical. I get it. But no, let me play the NFL video I wanted to play, and then we'll talk about it. Now, Jeff, here's the NFL. Now, again, why do we have to have that video, Jeff?
I don't know, Tom. That is beyond, as far as I'm concerned, beyond. I don't even know what to say. Beyond what? It's just out there, man.
I mean, listen, to me, do you think that's a coincidence in the fact that the kid, Carl Nassib, for whatever reason, and listen, God bless him. I don't know why it's important for him to acknowledge it, but okay, maybe you want to say it's groundbreaking. That, you know, I'm sure in the thousands and tens and thousands of people who played professional football, there's a lot more people who are gay, and who cares at the end of the day. But do you think that the NFL was taking advantage of the Carl Nassib announcement by playing that?
Very well might have. It's their chance to ram it down your throat,
so to speak.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Wow.
Good choice of words, Jeff. Good choice of words. But, yes,
exactly. Just in case, because yeah. I don't know what may be lurking around.
If the show is banned from Facebook next week, we'll know why.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Good.
I'm going to stay on part of your thing, but I'm going to go off a little bit on this one.
Going off script?
Yeah.
Good.
When is it and how is this going to be broken to us that we, as white American males, are wrong for never having or partook in a same-sex relationship?
When is
sooner
that?
Or later,
yes.
Somebody is going to
yes.
say that it's wrong.
I agree with you.
How do you know that it's not for you if you did not try it? How do you know that?
And so that
is going to be, now, first of all, I'm not asking the question of the people, okay? I'm saying sooner or later,
that's
somebody's going to start asking the question and be like, well, how do you know that it's not for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. I think at some point you're going to face more of that stuff. It's what we've been dealing with for the last couple of years. But, I would hope at this point in our life in general that these things are not that big a deal. I don't mean to belittle it. I think Carl Nassib wants to come out and say, hey, I'm gay. Good for you. But I really didn't care. I don't care if, you know, who my favorite athlete, and I do want to get to that question you wanted to ask during the week on what athlete we want to trade places with or wanted to be. I think that was your question, right?
Yeah.
So I want to get to that after. Yeah. But to me, at this point, I think you make more of a story by making it an issue than just being, you know, if you're Carl Nassib and you're walking the red carpet at the NFL honors and you show up with your husband or your boyfriend or however you, no big deal. But I think you're almost belittling it by making it a big deal. And then to put that video out saying it's okay to be a fan if you're gay, to me that's a punch in the face if you're in the gay, in the lesbian, queer, gay, trans community. Of course it's okay. Be a fan of whatever you want. Who cares if you're white, black, straight, homosexual? Who cares if you're a fan of a sport or a band or whatever? Who cares who you are and what you are? You're a fan. I don't know why the NFL feels it's okay for them to say, oh, it's all right.
Well, because now at this point in time, that they, it's so important to get it out there, and so that you can express yourself and let everybody know what your preference is. That it's just going to continue to be a circle, because now the next guy is going to come out and be like, well, you know what, he's gay, but I'm this.
I mean,
and I'm, this is the right way to be. And then somebody's going to find themselves pigeonholed into a position and be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm minding my own business here, and I'm the bad guy, and I'm all the way ostracized over there because everybody else is for what everybody else is doing. And
yeah.
I didn't say anything, and I didn't take a side, so now I'm wrong. I must be a racist or not racist, biased against.
Yeah.
Homosexuals, because I didn't take a stance.
But I mean, at some point, is it going to be he's the greatest white quarterback of all time? No, he's the greatest black quarterback of all time. Is he the greatest a homosexual running back? Like, who cares? At the end of the, and again, I'm not belittling Carl Nassib. He has every right to come out and say it. But you know, does the next athlete who's straight come out and say, "Hey, just want everybody to know, I'm straight." I mean. I'm gonna throw a player. Let's say we brought up Saquon Barkley. If Saquon Barkley put up a video saying, "Hey, everybody, just want everybody to know that I like women and I'm straight," like, would he not be blasted for saying that? Yeah.
Very well, maybe.
Absolutely.
Belittling.
Correct.
Those. He's taking away a choice. From
Correct.
Somebody.
Yeah, to me.
You're not giving him the choice by saying
100%
LGBTQ,
PQ, whatever. Again,
whatever.
Again, be whoever you are. And I think the problem is most of the people who make race an issue, who make homosexuality an issue, who make religion an issue, are the people who are the problem. I think to me and you, Jeff, I don't think in our 40-year friendship, doing this show every week, we've ever made race an issue for a band or an athlete, whether we like them or not. We've never said, well, I like that guy, but he's black, so I can't root for him. You know, to us, to most normal people, it doesn't matter. If you root for a band or you root for a team or you root for a player, to most normal people, it doesn't matter. It's the people who think everybody else is racist who make everything about race or sexuality or religion. That, you know, you get my point?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I just think that's – so the NFL, by putting that video out, it's almost like, hey, guys, just so you know, if you're queer, you can be a fan of the NFL. Like, of course you can. You have a right to be a fan.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. I was watching what the fuck was it? Was it the news?
I don't know.
I was watching something earlier, and a commercial came on. I think it was the news. Let's call it the news. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And then a commercial came on for like a Raymore Flanigan, I think it was.
Okay.
And they showed this homosexual interracial couple, and the white guy is like, you know, yeah, we went there. Like, you would have never thought he was gay. If they put a woman in there, it'd be like, oh, it must be a guy, his friend and his wife, you know? And then there they are talking, and they were like, just like regular guys. And they're like, you know, yeah, everything is good. And we got our furniture, but we're homos. And they have to put it in the commercial. And it's just like, you got to be kidding me. It's coming out of all different ways now.
Yeah, I mean,
and now they gotta have it with sports too.
Yes,
it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and listen, if you want to do commercials and have interracial couples or same sex couples, who cares? Don't make that the issue. Just make it that you're two regular people just decided to go buy a couch. It don't
you
make
can't have that
right, huh?
Because now,
right?
If
I get it.
Your wife is white, right? Your wife is white, right?
Yes.
Okay. But you can't just have a white male and a white female go buy a sofa at Raymore Flanigan's, okay? You also have to show the interracial couple and their kids.
I get it.
You have to show the gay couple.
Yeah.
To see where you know that this store caters.
Correct. You make
these
it,
kinds
yeah.
of people, and you'll be more than accepted in there. Because we want you to know that we want you here.
Yeah, again, I get that. You know, to me, have a diverse group of people, I could care less if the people, you know, I can't say that there's more than a handful of things I've ever went to buy because I saw it on TV and it influenced me to buy it. You know, I can't say that it's happened. I'm sure I saw something advertised and I went, oh shit, you know, I got to get myself there or having a sale someplace. But I can't tell you that it ever mattered to me who the sales, like who was giving the pitch. You know, is it two men, two women, a black and a white? To me, none of that's ever made a difference to me, and I'm sure that for most people it doesn't. And again, I think at the end of the day, the NFL, you know, there's no, you know, they're letting you know it's okay to be gay, but they do nothing about, you know, all the guys in the league who are getting caught with automatic weapons in the back of their car. Oh, it all belongs to the bodyguard. I got it. I got that part.
I guess it all depends on what kind of weapon you're playing with in your own time.
Yeah, I guess so, Jeff, yes.
You know?
Yeah. Which gun is going off?
What holster are you putting this weapon in?
Yeah, I got it. But, yeah, again, I'm down on the NFL, the league itself. I think it's with the whole social justice thing last year turned my stomach on it. Again, you know, I protested. You know, I will not buy any of their products. I watch the games because I love football, and we do it for the show. But they won't get my money. I will not buy. I will not buy their jerseys. I will not buy their stuff. I don't know for how long, but for now, I've resisted for over a year now, and I will hopefully continue to resist. But, you know, again, it's just the goal of the NFL to be, you know, be a football league. Don't have to be out there in social justice or any of this stuff. Just keep the politics, keep the social stuff out off the field and out of that. I think they would do better business again. That's all. That's how I feel.
Well, that they're going to be afraid that they're going to ostracize themselves from a certain demographic, I guess is the best way to say it.
Probably. That's a good way to say it. Yeah.
You know,
no.
So they want to make sure that they appeal to everybody.
But let me ask you, Jeff, do you think that anybody, let's say, anybody in the homosexual community, whatever that's trans, queer, whatever, however, the LGBTQ, whatever they say it, and I don't mean that in any side anyway, but do you think anybody in that genre or in that society was not a football fan, saw that video and goes, wow, this is great. I could be a football fan. Do you think anybody cared? I think if you're a football fan already, you're a football fan. If you're not, doesn't matter. You can be a straight guy and not be into it. You're not running to it because the NFL now is, you know, they're diverse. Of course they're diverse. You should want everybody to be a fan. It's the goal and the audacity that bothers me with the NFL. Their righteousness is just overwhelming.
Yeah.
Their righteousness is overwhelming.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, righteousness. It's more than overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It's constantly being stated. It's almost like they're trying to convince themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I agree with that. And Patrick, you're 100% right. Again, if an athlete wants to go outside of the stadium on a day off and have a rally or be part of a protest, that's his God-given American right. But when you're inside the confines of the stadium, it should be all about the sport, and that's it. Again, that's the way it should be, and I respect the hell out of it. And if a LeBron James or Colin Kaepernick or any of these other guys want to go rent out a theater or go to a park and stand on a soapbox and pontificate, by all means, do it. But while you're in the stadium during a football game, a baseball game, or a concert, I don't want to hear it. That's not the place for it, Jeff. So hopefully we see less and less and less and less of that this year. Most of the sports, you saw nothing in basketball, nothing in baseball, and I'm hoping football goes back to, and does the same.
It's going to be years before you see less of it.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that, but it's better than it was last year at this time. And you know, again, regardless of all of that, you stand here, all right?
Yeah, I'm saying it because I'm tired and my back is killing me. But
right.
You know what? With Carl Nassib coming out and explaining his position, okay, in life and his lifestyle, I guess is the best way to say it without trying to be mean or nasty.
Yeah.
There's going to be people he's going to be looked upon as a hero.
Absolutely.
To come on out. But, you know, what about the kid that played in Missouri a couple years ago, got drafted, I believe, but it was by the Rams?
Yes.
There's more than one player in the league right now that is in the position of Carl.
Sure, absolutely.
It would be still stupid to believe there wasn't.
Absolutely.
Where's the parade that we're going to just start pouring out the doors saying, you know, I'm here because I'm gay?
Yeah, again, if you want to make it not a big deal, then don't make it a big deal. You know, if you're a great player or you're a good enough player to play in the NFL or at Major League Baseball or still at a concert, then make it about your abilities and not what you are as a person. And let's not make it about brown and white and homosexuality and straight. Who cares? When it comes to sports and entertainment, we want to be entertained. I don't want my politics or my social justice bleeding into it for me. And we'll see how it plays out. But I got one more thing before we call it a night. Okay, I'm going to let you off the hook. I got to tell you a quick funny story. In my opinion, it's a funny story.
Right.
So I get emails from my Ticketmaster and all these things about upcoming concerts. So I get it all the time. I get a whole bunch of the Bowery. I get all these places send me their you know, when the concert tickets are going on sale. So I get an email that says Elton John tickets are going on sale yesterday at 10 a.m.
Yes,
Now, I'm not a big Elton John fan, but I know my wife is, and I believe he's going out for one last tour. So I know my wife wants to go. So I go on the website. The concert is July 23rd. So I look it up, and I say, oh, shit, my wife works, but she's out at 4 o'clock, and we leave for Florida on Monday. And I say, you know what, I think I'm going to buy her tickets for this because I think she would love to go, right? Jeff, if you saw something for your wife like that, you kind of go, you know what, I'm looking through the thing and they have all these VIP things. And
by the way, just real quick to throw a little tidbit in on you.
Yeah.
He just turned 74 years old.
Okay.
So the reason I bring that up is that, you know, here's a guy, you'll have to go with the rest of your story, but he's selling tickets way, way in advance.
Well, don't get ahead because that's part of the story. So I read July 23rd at the Meadowlands is Elton John. So I'm on there now. Now I'm looking at $500 tickets. They're VIPs. You know, you don't get to meet him, but it's all this special stuff. You get all these different things.
You don't
things.
Get to meet him for $500.
No.
You don't get to
you don't
meet
get to, no, and none of the all the VIP packages say the same thing. You, Elton John does not do meet and greets. So, but I said, you know what? They you can go backstage. They give you free stuff to drink. They give you a package. You get a special seat. Blah blah blah. So I said, you know what? Let me make it a special experience for my wife. Let me book it. So I was one click and a button away from spending $1,000. So my wife happens to text me at that moment about going to this special park that you pick and you buy lavender. And when I go with her to this place, so as a good husband, I say, "Hon, whatever you want to do, I'm gonna go with you." So I say at that moment, "By the way, do you want to see Elton John?" She says, "Of course I want to see Elton John." So I said, "Well, it's on a night you work. So are you sure that you want to go after work and you have to work the next day?" She says, "Absolutely. When is it?" So I said, "July. It's Saturday, July 23rd. So there's a pause and she goes back. She says, "No, July 23rd is a Friday." I said, "Are you sure?" And as I say, look up, it's 2022. So I almost bought a year in advance, $1,000 worth of Elton John stuff that he could have had a heart attack next week and died. And I might not have even got my money back. And I said, why are they selling tickets to an Elton John concert that is over 1 year away? And I said, I've never seen this before. And I said,
well, you know what? Okay. You know that by that time, it's probably going to be back to normal with a lot of things.
Oh, absolutely.
Even more so than they are now.
Absolutely. But do you
just
tie
the
up
same as if they get their 70%. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
And the variance will stop.
Yeah. Do I want to let Ticketmaster ever hold my $1,000 for a year? I know a friend of mine actually bought tickets to a show thinking it was, you know, this was right before the pandemic, and it turned out the tickets were for the next year, and she had no idea. And she wound up, you know, putting out $1,200 or $1,500 and had to wait an entire year to be able to go to the show. So, again, I just offered as I never saw that before. I never noticed that selling tickets a year in advance.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I just heard the advertisement for it on the radio the other day.
Yep.
When I was at work. And I was just like, wow, you know, like a year.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of ballsy when you got a guy that's 74 years old.
Yeah.
That'll be 75 years old or so before you actually hear him play, that he's confident enough to sell tickets a year in advance, that he's going to live,
yeah.
and he's going to be able to perform in next year at this time.
Yeah, again, I will keep my eye on it, and if I see the tickets start to run, I'll decide whether to buy it or not. But I just thought it was interesting, and I said, thank God for the life of me. My wife said, no, that's just, and I just happened to look up at the date and said, shit, I nearly, not pissed away, because, you know, obviously I'd have the tickets and we would go, but who knows what's going to happen a year from now. We just saw what happened last year. Anything's possible, but listen.
Yeah.
Let's call it a night. We've had a great show. It's been a lot. It's been a blast. It flies by every week, and hopefully, maybe Jeff will be a little. It'll be his birthday show, so hopefully, Jeff will be ready to go next week. And
there's going to be something next week. Ready to go. I don't know if it's going to be that, but it'll be something.
Let's hope. But let's start with the goodbyes and thank yous. First of all, thanks to all the guys, Patrick and Matt, and a lot of people. I saw Joe Flynn pop up. A lot of people last week we were kind of shorthanded. We had nobody with us. This week everybody was there. So thanks for checking in with us, everybody. Please tell all your coworkers, your friends, your family. Let people know the Hard Rock and Sports Show is out there. We're here every Thursday night trying to entertain you. And, of course, give you the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. So come on back next week and do it. Thanks to my dad for participating. Like I said, all the guys who participated, anybody who watched the show and didn't participate, you know, let us know you're out there next time. And of course, thanks to everybody, you know, all our wives and everybody for helping get the show on the air. I hope everybody has a great 4th of July weekend. I'm off on Monday. I know my man Same to you, Patrick. Happy 4th of July, my friend.
Yes. Same to you,
Patrick. Yeah, I know my partner's going to have to work a good part of the weekend, but, you know, we'll...
weekend. I'm working Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Wow, then he'll be on vacation. But listen, to everybody else out there, have a great 4th of July. Stay safe. Do not blow anything off, Jeff. I hope nobody, lights their hands off on fire. And you think at this point, after all these years, people would get smart enough about not handling or learning to handle. I'm not sure. We're going to figure that one out. I'm not sure that my parents are going to come over here this weekend or go over there, but I'll keep you updated on that one. Again, for my man Jeff, for myself, and everybody here at the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, I say thanks for stopping by. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy your weekend. We'll come on back next Thursday night. We'll do it all over again, and we hope you join us. Jeff, have a great weekend, my friend.
Same to you, dude. I'm already tired, and it didn't even start yet.
All right, well, don't overdo it. I definitely will talk to you off the air, and we'll talk to everybody else along the way. Everybody enjoy your week. And from everybody here at the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, Jeff, myself, and everybody, have a great holiday weekend. Stay safe.
Later.
All right, brother. Later.
Bye.
Oh.